Link cables, IR blasts, and finally good old Wi-Fi, I consider the Nintendo 3DS to be the most social portable we've ever seen, almost exclusively due to the existence of SpotPass and StreetPass. Conventions quickly went from a wireless clusterfuck of data exchange to a wireless wasteland devoid of 3D life. I truly do miss it. 3DS, we hardly knew ye. Stay tuned for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, their thoughts on the sunsetting Nintendo handhelds, and plenty more gaming news starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Also, RIP PS Neo.
Out there on the internet, welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, back again live tonight with episode number 836 of our show for this September 20th of 2020. That's a lot of 20s. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined via Discord. As much as we love to tape all in the same room, 2020 has made that not possible, but thanks to technology, I'm able to connect with my co-hosts at a social distance. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
I'm throwing up the horns.
Yeah, I love your look tonight. Now, I know the podcasties can't see it, but the folks on Twitch can kind of see you're rocking kind of a little bit of a gothic look tonight.
I'm going for old school goth.
A little bit of Halloween Daria tonight.
Halloween my ass. I just wear this anyway.
Halloween is every day when you're a cosplayer.
Well, but this isn't... I just, you know, this is kind of how I feel right now. I feel like I'm in a really dark place, so why shouldn't my outside show how I'm feeling inside?
Yeah, it's been a decade this weekend, hasn't it? Oh, boy. Anyway.
Well, and I mean, there was the other news that I shared. I mean, we all know that Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, and there's a big hole in our democracy that she's left.
Mm-hmm.
I've unfriended a few people, by the way, who have... you know, just shat on her memory.
Mm-hmm.
But we also lost Nobiko, the long cat.
Right.
Nobiko,
you messaged me that before
today.
The show. That's sad.
18 years old.
You know, some of those internet meme cats are kind of passed away some time ago. Like Keyboard Cat is the one that comes to mind, right? Because that was an old clip from the 80s.
Ago. Yeah. But there'd been a big, like, series of posts that... you know, yeah, the cat's still alive. His name is Nobiko, and he lives in Japan, and blah, 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 blah. And then his owner said, no, Nobiko passed away of respiratory failure.
That's tragic.
18 is a good run. Shermie made it to 16.
Cats should live longer than people. I don't think longer.
I think that they should have just a human lifespan.
Yes, agree. All right. Well, introducing our other co-host, who's living a nice full life and will continue to for some time, I'm sure. Say hello to Loki.
Not if I keep eating all this ramen.
Yeah, if we have to keep eating the way we have been in quarantine, who knows?
I was trying to shove it down before the show started. So
you're going to be well preserved because of all the preservatives. That's it. You're mummifying yourself.
What is the game running behind you tonight, Loki?
It's one of the games that should have been included on one of these All-Stars. It's WarioWare Shake It, one of the best platform games that nobody remembers anymore. It was a hand-drawn animated platformer game by Nintendo, and I really wish they would do like a traditional Mario game in that style, but they didn't. They left it to Wario instead.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would have been more jazzed about like another Super Mario 2D collection than maybe the 3D All-Stars. I mean, I get that a lot of people are really enjoying 3D All-Stars. I personally did not pick it up. I've gone into the reasons before, and I'm not here to, like, shit on Nintendo fans. It's not my thing. If I want to go play Mario 3D, I have my 3DS, which is a great system. And even if Nintendo is going to discontinue them, spoiler alert, they can't come into my house and take my 3DS away with my copy of Mario 64 on it. So there is that, and the other things I've talked about on previous episodes. So,
well, I just wish that they would have done more with this collection than they did, because it's all emulated. Mm-hmm. And even like the one that has kind of the most done to it, which is Mario Galaxy, is really just the version that was out in China on the NVIDIA Shield, because remember they had it over there. Since technically Switch is sort of an NVIDIA Shield, you know, hardware wise. that's what they ported over. I mean, that's exactly the same thing. It's same kind of up resolution they were doing and stuff. But like, just even on PC with the folks, you know, decompiling the original Mario 64, and I know we'll have more stories kind of tied with that later. There's been so much more that they've done with it than just this. Like, just, oh, look, we re-released an emulator. Enjoy. It's like, okay.
I would have been I would have been like so jazzed about the 3D collection if they tried to do something. You're right. Like the things that people have done with Mario 64, like when they turned it into all the, like the massively multiplayer Mario 64.
Yeah,
I'm not saying Nintendo has to like copy it, but it does kind of show that like you can kind of go back and reinvent old games. And that's maybe why I loved the first All-Stars collection on Super Nintendo so, so much. It really truly is one of the greatest releases ever because it didn't just port the games, it reimagined them. And that's what made it so amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It wasn't just a re-release, it was a remaster of those games. And these are, it literally is the old games running in an emulator, and then they're hacking stuff in there with some slightly better textures for like the HUD and stuff, and some more anti-aliasing, or actually in some cases removing the anti-aliasing in the case of Mario 64. It's just, it's very minimal. It's hardly worthy of an All-Stars collection, especially without Mario Galaxy 2. That's just silly.
Yeah, and again, I'm really not here to kick it when it's down. And if those of you, I know many of you out there, especially if I'm watching my Twitter and social media feed, are playing 3D All-Stars and enjoying it, and that's cool. And, you know, also, I think my age might be showing a little bit because I think there's lots of gamers out there who might be, like, in their early 20s or mid-20s who didn't really get to play Sunshine or didn't really get to play Mario 64 either when those games were new or ever. So the fact that people are experiencing those games for the first time, I think that's awesome. So that's cool.
Yeah, I never played Sunshine, and Galaxy, I played like up through the first few levels and that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, Mario 64 I played pretty much all the way through, but the other two, like, I haven't touched. So it is kind of nice to do that. And my kids are having fun with it. I haven't gotten a chance to play it yet, but they have. So you're enjoying them.
All right. Well, yeah. And those 3D games, I think they just keep getting better and better. And honestly, like, if you don't already own Mario Odyssey, in my opinion, get that before you play. Because it's I honestly think Odyssey is the best 3D Mario's ever been. It's a hell of a lot of fun. But I am probably going to pick up, even though the price tag is a little high, I will probably end up picking up the 3D. I can't even remember the exact way they titled it. Super Mario 3D Land. But it kind of plays like a 2D Mario, but it had the 3D stuff.
Yeah, it's 3D World.
Suits.
And
3D World.
Plus, it's 3D World plus...
I'll probably still get that. I thought that was such a solid platformer. I really enjoyed that. I wouldn't mind revisiting that, even if the price tag's a little high. So, all right. Yeah. Anyway, we have so much news to get into tonight. We really need to stop. we'll talk about other stuff during our gaming weeks, but we got a lot to get into tonight. So let's start with the biggest news. We had a Sony event. Sony came out, they did an event, and they finally showed us this is the price, this is the date, and this is some of the games that we're going to be putting on the PlayStation. Some you've seen before, some you haven't. Loki, why don't you break this down for us a little bit, although prepare to be interrupted a lot.
Okay, so they had a lot of trailers before the final announcement of the actual price. So kicking things off, I mean, Final Fantasy 16. That's definitely how you start one of these press events, you know. It's just, or not even press events, one of these directs is like, kick it off with a brand new Final Fantasy trailer. So it looked pretty cool.
Do you think that they moved that to the front because of the leaks that had proceeded for a couple days?
I think they moved it to the front because of the way that they were describing their footage. So that one in particular is a PC running. It was a game running on PC meant to look like a PlayStation 5, whereas the rest were running off of PlayStation 5 hardware. So they prefaced that trailer differently than the rest of them. So I think that's why they did it. But yeah, I mean, it looks nice. It is considered a console exclusive, but it is still coming out on PC as well. So we'll see what that necessarily means. There's some other.
They're being a little wishy-washy on the PC thing right now. I don't know if I would stay. They kind of said that, but then the trailers kind of contradict each other. So we know PlayStation 5 for sure. I think it's like PC eventually. I mean, Square's been doing that with a lot of their games, but it may not be right away.
But there's also there's other titles, though, that also were coming. They were called console exclusives as well. But then they're also coming to PC and other consoles like 3 months later is the other thing, too. So
got it. Well,
personally, I am not a fan of paid console exclusives. I didn't like it when, you know, PlayStation did it. I didn't like it when Microsoft, you know, Xbox did it. Not a fan of that kind of thing. I think it's ridiculous to do that.
Can we talk about the trailer, though? Because it was so sexy. I am dying. Like, it was really, really good. Jamie, did you see the trailer? I'm so curious what your thoughts were on 16.
It looks like 14?
Yes.
Kind of,
yes. And that's, in my opinion, that's a great thing. And,
you know me, I'm just like still trying to reserve judgment. I'm trying not to be excited. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get it. But it is so...
There's not enough for me to go on.
I know, but it's so hard for me not to buy in the hype because it took me a minute because I saw that logo come up for the Creative Team 3 and I was like, Why does that logo look so distinctive? And it came to my mind after the fact. The font is the same font used in Final Fantasy 14. I didn't connect it right away, but I connected it later. It was Creative Team 3, and then I'm watching it, and I'm like, this really has like a 14 kind of vibe to it, and something's going.
I'm not familiar with the storyline in 14. Are some of the characters the same in this one?
No,
or like
no, it's no? just. Okay. It's just kind of like the look of it and just kind of like the vibe you get. The combat also kind of reminded me of if you completely took the interface off of 14. And obviously you don't have multiple people on the screen, but I mean, some things in 14 you're doing by yourself. The combat looked a little 14 to me, but I wouldn't read too much into that. But I mean, sure enough, we found out that Naoki Yoshida, who is the producer and director of 14, is the producer of 16. Those were some early rumors out there that he was kind of shooting down. Well, I think he said, I'm not the director of 16, and he's not. He's the producer. So, you know, semantics, right? But somebody else from his team that worked on Stormblood is the director of the game. And so this is going to be a single-player Final Fantasy 14-inspired game. And I am, like, I got chills when I made the connection. I'm like, because again, like, I know not everybody has played Final Fantasy 14 because I get it. It's an MMO. It's a monthly fee. It's not for everybody. But I'm telling you, the story in 14 is so good, especially when you get to the expansions, that like the fact that that is going to get realized as a single player game in Final Fantasy 16, like the bar is already set high, which is a dangerous thing. I admit, I mean, this game could be garbage and just, you know, it's unfortunate, but I so don't want to believe that. Like, I so feel like the formula is in a really good place. And I am really excited for this game that I haven't been for a game this far out in a very long time.
So now with that being said, let me just poo-poo on all that.
Can't wait.
So, you know, another game that I was highly anticipating that also was touted as like a single player, you know, campaign, The Avengers became a live service game. What if this happens, the same thing happens to this as a live service game? I understand that they have 14, which is kind of like that, but they like all the money, so, you know.
Let's see. Actually, you know what's interesting? I'm hearing mixed things on The Avengers, because I'm hearing that early demo was not very well received, but the people that have bought the full game and are playing the full game, I'm not seeing a lot of negative reaction. I feel like a lot of people that are playing The Avengers are enjoying it. But again, I haven't played it myself, so I can't tell you what I think, but that's just the vibe I'm getting on social media.
I do want that one.
Gotcha. And Fifth Dream in chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, I hate the Avengers game, TBH. So there you go. One bad opinion.
I hear the gameplay can be fun, like, because they have it kind of broken up with like some of these linear story sections. And then they have kind of like the, you know, recycle quests type things where it's like, go here, do this type of stuff. part, the story stuff is pretty good and the gameplay is pretty good, but it's like some of these quests, plus that they completely ripped off Destiny 2. Like, mm-hmm. everything that's a Destiny 2, they basically just took it, put it in this game, tweaked the names of things, and that's it. I mean, it's kind of rushed, but that's why I think we're hearing mixed things on it.
I'm going to leave it to Naoki Yoshida, who strikes me as a real fan of gaming and the genre, to make the decision that he believes is best as the producer. And I'm just going to really try to have faith. We'll see. There is an early rumor. You know, there's a lot of memes online about, oh, here we go, another white dude protagonist in Final Fantasy 16. But, and I want to stress, this is a rumor, but it's coming from the same place that the Final Fantasy 16 is tied to the PlayStation 5 announcement came from. Rumor. That 16 is going to have a character creator, and it's going to be kind of like Shepard in Mass Effect. So there will be male and female versions, and everything will be voiced male and female, and there's going to be a character creator, which would be something that exists in Final Fantasy 14. That would be awesome. And it makes a lot of sense. I think Mass Effect is a great template that shows it can be done. And also, you know, the 14 team kind of doing that, they have experience writing a story like that from a you name it type of protagonist, so that would be very exciting. But I want to, you know, I again, and I'm stressing rumor, and I know some of you hate when I talk about rumors on this show, but I think that's one worth bringing up. But level your expectation. Don't set that as an expectation. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyways. So moving on from Final Fantasy, they showed the first combat footage and gameplay of Spider-Man Miles Morales, which mm-hmm. looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it looks slick.
The game is going to be coming to both the PlayStation 4 and 5, so it looks pretty cool.
That was a little surprising, though, the fact that it's going to be 4 and 5. Everybody kind of thought this was like the big exclusive that 5 has right out the gate, and that isn't going to be the case. That was a little bit surprising, but...
It is.
I mean... You know, the footage you were looking at was from a 5. It's going to be the best it possibly can be. A good game's a good game. So I guess at the end of the day, it won't matter, right?
Yeah. After years of rumors that, you know, and leaked trailers and stuff like that, finally got the trailer announcement for Hogwarts Legacy, mm-hmm. which is supposed to be coming to PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to take place before all of the Harry Potter stuff in the 1800s, I guess. So that looked interesting.
Definitely had that epic adventure feel to it. And I think there's been a lot of people that had really wanted a game like this up until about a year ago. But we'll get into that later in the show.
A year ago, we knew about this an age before.
Oh, God. Oh, I thought it was a little more recent.
No, the controversy has been going on for some time.
Yikes. All right. Well, we'll get into it later in the show.
They showed off some more footage of Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, more Deathloop. Like, I don't know, Deathloop looks okay, but like, God, I wish they would cut down on the trailers for that.
Deathloop looked more like my kind of vibe, like the type of game I would play versus Call of Duty. No shade, it's just
like,
you know,
Dishonored. I mean, like, it's pretty much Dishonored with a time loop. So, which, I mean, it's the same team, so it makes sense.
I liked the art direction in that trailer too. I kind of liked that, you know, film noir vibe it had kind of going for it. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it looked cool. Devil May Cry 5 is going to be getting a PlayStation 5 version.
Cool.
There's a new trailer for Oddworld Soulstorm.
Mm-hmm.
That looked kind of interesting. A new Five Nights at Freddy's game announced.
That was unexpected.
Yeah, definitely.
Because those games have traditionally been like either like iPhone, Android, or like desktop games. I know there was a Five Nights VR, but
yeah, but that's one of the ones though that is that timed exclusive type of thing.
Mm.
So in fact, actually in the trailer here, so when they talk about the exclusive, says available on PC, not available on other consoles until 3 months later.
Do you know
3 months after release date?
When that trailer first showed up, did you think it was Five Nights? Because I totally thought it was something else, and I was like, oh my gosh, this looks so good. Do you know? And then it was Five Nights at Freddy's. I was like, damn, I was hoping it was the other thing. Do you know what vibe I got from it at first?
Portal?
That sprung to mind. That was my very first was, ooh, this might be Portal. But then my second thought, and I was like, oh no, it's BioShock. They're taking a Stranger Things. They're taking a Stranger Things vibe, like an 80s Stranger Thing vibe, and gelling it with BioShock. And I was like, oh, I'm here for this game. And then it was Five Nights at Freddy's, and I have to admit, I was a little bit like, oh.
I was like, yeah, no, I'm not here for this game.
Oh, no, I don't want to hate on Five Nights. Look, just because I'm not a big fan of the jump scare games, like, I'm kind of like, oh, okay. And I was like, damn, this is what happens when you set expectations.
No, definitely, I did get a BioShock vibe from it as well. Yeah. Because just it looked like Rapture. But
now that's what I want from a new BioShock game, is I'm like, BioShock meets Stranger Things type of thing would be pretty incredible.
They have like a whole lot of opportunity with like the BioShock Infinite, because remember there was she kept pulling stuff, you know, through those rifts from like alternate 80s dimensions and stuff like that. So, I mean, there could be something cool like that, but yeah, someday we'll get a new BioShock game. It'll be amazing.
They've been kind of quiet on the BioShock front. You feel like they're working on something, and I keep feeling like, okay, any day now we're going to see a new BioShock, and I thought it might be this week, but that's okay.
They showed some more footage for Demon's Souls, which looks amazing. I mean, that's how you do a remake right there.
Yeah, it did look really good.
And then what I thought was going to be an announcement of like some sort of Games Pass type thing, they talked a little bit about these, it's like PlayStation Plus, their collection of titles that they have, the PlayStation Plus collection.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
And it was just a few titles that they were offering for free with the PlayStation 5 launch if you have PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
Which I got to be honest, like, I have most of these already. Like, it's not a big deal. It's like, I thought for sure, like, oh, collection. Oh, this is, here's Games Pass. You know, it's their answer to it. And it's like, disappointed.
Well,
so, I don't know.
It was okay. I had several thoughts about it. I was kind of like, okay. Well, many of these games, PlayStation Plus, I mean, you said I have most of these games. I would bet you probably got them all through PlayStation Plus at some point. So it sounds like,
I think a lot of them I did.
So it kind of sounds like they're opening the PlayStation Plus vault in some way and bringing back a lot of games that you can download again as some kind of answer to Game Pass. So I'm kind of like, all right, well, that's okay. But there is that very big fact that they're not charging another fee for it. It is a part of PlayStation Plus, and that's pretty big, that you're not having to pay anything extra for it. So that's pretty cool. And Game Pass, when it first rolled out, did not have the most impressive lineup in the world. It was something they built over, you know, a couple of years that it's been around now. So it will be interesting to see how much and how regularly PlayStation adds to that. Are there going to be free PlayStation Plus games of the month anymore? Or is it just going to be, we're adding them into the library? Because I kind of feel like that's where it's going to go. They're just going to add games into the library now, and it's not going to be what it was before. Because
that's fine. I'm kind of fine with that, because if you forget to download it, you can still get it. But
especially because there's no fee beyond play, so it's not like they're going to make you pay more money. It's just the logical next step on how they do it.
I'd be curious to see like what they do with that. But that's pretty much it. So then finally, there was at the very end, before we'll get to the pricing in just a sec. So at the very end, they teased, you know, Ragnarok is coming. So obviously a new God of War game coming in 2021.
Yep.
Which is fine. And then, finally they said, you know, of course they announced the pricing of the PlayStation 5. They've got the price at $499 for the system with the disc drive, $399 for the digital edition. And those are both going to be coming out on November 12th in the U.S., Japan, Canada, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, and South Korea. And then the rest of the territories on November 19th.
And that's, for me, that's exactly what I was expecting. And I think what most people were expecting. I think, some expected an undercut to Xbox's price, but I feel like this is a different situation than last time. Microsoft made a choice, and what ultimately was a bad choice from a sales perspective. Sorry, I know some of you were fans of it, but from a larger perspective, it was a bad choice to bundle Kinect with the system, mandatory, basically. And so that isn't a factor this time. So I kind of expected PlayStation and Microsoft to have price parity of their high-end systems. Now, granted, every company found a way to cut the price of that somehow. PlayStation cut the price with the digital edition. Microsoft cut it with a lower spec edition, the Series S. But essentially, the Mercedes-Benz systems, right, the top of the line ones, are the same price. So that's it's going to be interesting for this gen.
And here's something though that's also interesting. We don't know necessarily what the prices are on the Xbox games front, but on the PlayStation side, though, there's already a few first-party titles that are $70 retail.
Mm-hmm.
So Demon's Souls and Destruction All-Stars are going to be $70. Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales is going to be $50. They're going to have an Ultimate Edition for $70. And Sackboy's Big Adventure is going to be $60. So interesting that they're going $70 on some of those. I would be fine with that in this generation if I knew that it wasn't going to be followed up by like the usual nonsense with season passes and shoving microtransactions down your throat and loot boxes and all this stuff. But I know it's definitely going to still be there.
Yeah, I think it really depends on what they kind of do with that price. You know, and it's interesting because we're talking about $70 game generation, but I actually don't really think that label is true. We're looking at the generation where we'll pay $70 for some games, for AAA games, for first-party games, but the price of games is all over the map, and especially now that we have digital exclusive systems, you know, some games are $9.99, some are $29.99, some are $70. It's just going to be all over the map, and it's very interesting.
I think they're just testing the waters is what it is. I think that they want to be at $70, but they're waiting for the backlash from it, and if they don't get that backlash, then they're just going to go full in with that.
I kind of think most of us have been expecting it for some time. I'm ready for it. It is what it is. I'm with the statement that you said, Loki. If we're paying $10 to get rid of some of this nickel and diming BS we've seen over the last generation, then fine.
And Bobby says, you know, AAA game budgets have ballooned. Yes, but you've obviously heard from all these companies where they're making billions of dollars off of microtransactions. So I think that their games are well within their budgets to be covered by those microtransactions. And I don't think that they need to nickel and dime an additional, well, not even nickel and dime, an additional $10 on top of that. They're making plenty of money. And trust me, all that money is not going to the development teams. It's going to the CEOs of those companies. So I don't feel a little bit sad at them at all for, you know, not making an additional $10 off of me, to be honest, because it's not going to the people that really need it. It's going to people who make these poor decisions and end up screwing up our games because they're shoving all this microtransaction stuff because they're trying to appease their investors is what it is.
I kind of feel like, again, it's the $70. People are going to pay it. And I think this debate, I'm not dismissing what you're saying, Loki, at all, but I just kind of feel like it's ultimately we just need to be ready for it. It's the era of the $70 game. And if you want to play a AAA game like God of War day one, you're going to pay it. But you also know that if you don't pay it right away, games tend to go down in price. So it's so interesting because usually we can compare things to music and movies, but this is something somewhat unique in games. Although I would say the closest thing I could think of is people who paid the $30 to have Mulan on Disney Plus. Now, reviews of that movie aside, I'm not here to debate the quality of that movie. I haven't seen it, so I don't care. But some people paid $30 so they could have it in their house the very first day it was available. Some people are going to wait until it's free on Disney Plus. It just kind of depends on what is for your situation. And I think that's still going to be true of the $70 game, that's for sure. Some people are going to pay it because they also would be the type that would pay $30 to get Mulan day one on top of their Disney Plus fee, right?
And honestly, like, you know, let's just put it this way. Like, Sony can charge $70 for their games, but that's also going to make a better argument for Games Pass on the Xbox side of things because they're including first-party games in with that price. And honestly, if everything's going to be $70 this generation, that's looking at, like, a much better deal in the long run. So, I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed that they didn't come out with something similar to kind of counteract that. I don't think PlayStation Now is a good alternative for that. Also disappointed this, you know, hear that apparently that this generation is not going to be backwards compatible with the PlayStation 3, 2, or 1. It's only going to be with the PlayStation 4, which is something, I guess, but it's still like, really? You can't play PlayStation 1 games? I mean, God, my cell phone can probably emulate a PlayStation 1 just fine. You're saying that this brand new cutting edge system. Just it's just not able to do it. It's just impossible. I don't buy it.
I will say, Loki, I completely agree with you on the point that Games Pass and that sort of system is ultimately where I think this generation of games ends up. You know, we might be looking at the $70 game now, but I think it is going to drive more and more people to a subscription-based service. And Sony's catching up on that front. They're not there yet, but they're laying the groundwork for it. And I think that will continue as this generation moves on. I do want to get to some other comments from chat. SSJ100 Matt says, you know, counter take, I would much rather pay $70 for a game if the developer didn't require their staff crunch to finish the project and hire more help to finish a game. I can see that. That comment from twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I do want to ask kind of like a TLDR question from all of you. I'm going to ask you guys in chat. I'm going to ask Dark Sakura and Loki. And my TLDR question about this whole PS5 event is, where was your head at before this event? Were you, I'm going to get a PS5 day one. I'm going to get a PS5 eventually. I'm never getting a PS5. Where was your head at before this event? Did the event change your mind? So that's the TLDR question I want to ask. Dark Sakura, I'm going to start with you because I haven't heard from you in a sec.
No.
No what?
I'm still not pre-ordering anything.
Okay.
I am still going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, it's kind of what we did with the PS4. You know, we didn't really put in a pre-order. We got into ours. I'm kind of over the whole pre-order and wait for it thing, because they're going to be there. You know, they're not going to sell out forever. It's not going to be like, you know, the person that goes off and buys one and then breaks it in front of people. It's I mean, whoever's going to do that, yeah, they're a dick and they're out of their money. But I mean, it's not that urgent to me. It really isn't. I can wait. This is one of the first years where I really feel like I can wait.
I know. And you and I and many people out there also come from a generation where we remember lining up for a Dreamcast, lining up for a Wii, lining up for a PlayStation 2. And I don't know if that's a sign of our age or just how we're feeling about this generation of games. Was just kind of like, all right, well, we'll get around to it eventually, right?
It's also a little bit of kind of wanting to break that thing. It's a very capitalist kind of thing where they put out the anticipation, they build this and build this and build this, you know, and really all they care about is the money, you know. I kind of don't want to contribute to that anymore, okay. You know?
Let me get some
Does
comments.
That make sense?
Yeah, of course. Let me get some comments from chat and I'll get to Loki. Maurissimo in chat says day one before and after. So there you go. Just cemented the decision to buy one day one. That's why you're not alone in that. I know that. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says the only reason I want a PlayStation 5 on launch day is because of the podcast. If I was not a podcaster, I would be waiting. Yeah, you know, I definitely feel a little bit of that pressure, like, oh, I should have one because of this show. But A, I feel like most of you guys are in just like a similar boat to me. Like it's very hard to say I'm going to get a PlayStation 5 and an Xbox Series X. And for me, you guys, I haven't said this on the show in a while. Reminder, I don't have a 4K TV yet. So that's something I have to buy this year. So I kind of have to cut something loose to be able to afford this year. So obviously a lot of people are hurting out there in the world right now. I'm very, very lucky, very, very fortunate to still be working in spite of the world conditions. I'm lucky I can be talking about these game systems at all. I think there's a lot of people that are going to be waiting a little bit. Let's see. Pixelbaka is kind of following that up saying, I want a PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X or S due to reviewing games, but I could also keep reviewing games on my PlayStation, or I'm sorry, on my PC. SSJ100 Matt says, I'm waiting on a PS5 for next year. Okay, Loki, please, your thoughts before and your thoughts after.
I don't know. I wasn't really sold on it before, and I'm not really sold on it after either. Like, I get it that, like, Final Fantasy is coming out, but how many years did we see a trailer for Final Fantasy 13? How many? Did we see a date when this game's coming out?
How about Final Fantasy 15? There was more of those. But yes.
Yeah, so like I mean honestly, I was thinking 13, I mean 13 verses, but like honestly this game's not coming out anytime soon. So like no reason for me to jump in just to give this, and like honestly, like I haven't really been interested in a lot of the first party Sony titles aside from, I don't know, I can't even really think of any. Like God of War, I mean, it's a great game. Just not really interested in it anymore. Last of Us, not interested in it. Uncharted, nope. I can play those on my PlayStation 4. I don't know. Like, even the Spider-Man game looks kind of cool, but I didn't get it last time either. So, like, I've got a lot of games in my backlog anyways to pick up. So I'm just going to wait, I think, on that system. I'm more interested, though, like, on the Xbox side of things, just because of Games Pass and all that. And also, the system's much smaller. Like, that thing, even the digital edition of the PlayStation 5 is enormous. Like, yeah. And it's oddly shaped, too. Like, where the hell am I going to put this thing? So, like, I don't know. That's, like, also one of the reasons, too. I like the fact that the Xbox is boxy and small. In fact, it's kind of funny. They actually released online, you can go download a papercraft version of the Xbox and fold it up and actually see where it will fit.
Oh, wow.
In your, like, AV setup if you want. So I may check that out. But it was actually smaller than I thought it would be. So that's where I'm at, you know, assuming that can actually get one of those. And even if I don't at launch, you know, it's not a big deal. Really, the only game I'm looking forward to this year anyways is Cyberpunk. Have a PC for that. So I can wait on everything, actually.
Going to the chat for some more comments. We have SheHulk10 who says, nobody needs these consoles. And that's very true. Nobody needs it. It's not water or shelter. Certainly with 2020 being the way it's been, I understand why people want them very badly to help them cope with what a crazy year it's been and just everything else. Video games are an outlet. Video games are a way of expressing energy and spending that. But I also completely understand nobody needs this, right? So, and some people have to spend that money on other things, and that's fine. Questbuster says, get behind me, FOMO, get behind me. I want to reassure those with FOMO. It's okay if you can't afford these consoles day one. Don't let any marketing campaign or anything tell you otherwise. You are still a gamer. There are lots of other... this is why games are still coming out on the PlayStation 4, even when they're coming out on PlayStation 5. And Microsoft has a very similar strategy in that regard.
Like, yeah. I actually had, like, was it one of the digital editions, like in a car or something? And I was like, no, I don't need it. But, like, yeah, if... that is definitely a real thing.
Yeah. Another comment here from Black Compat who says, I'll get a PS5 in time for God of War Ragnarok. Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of people where it's like, when that one game I have to have is available, then that's when I'm going to break. So for me, the event did not change my mind, although I was neither unhappy or ecstatic with it. I thought it was – well, actually, I shouldn't say that. I thought it was fine. I thought it was a good presentation. I liked it that it wasn't just follow-ups on all the things they did before. And for the most part, it was really primarily new stuff they were showing. And so I will give them props for that. However, did it change my mind to not get PlayStation 5 day one? It did not change my mind. I did not participate in the PlayStation 5 pre-orders. This is certainly nothing anti-Sony. I'm kind of with that earlier comment I just read. You know, by the time Final Fantasy 16 comes out, I'm going to have one of these. There's just no question. And it probably will be in the budget for next year. I have opted this year to order a Xbox Series X day one. Now, before you guys want to turn this into a Microsoft versus Sony thing, I want to stress it's not. I'm a fan of everything, including Nintendo. And this is just kind of the ebb and flow of the way things work sometimes. Go back to last gen. I had a PS4 day one, and I got the Xbox One after they detached Kinect. Go back to the gen before that. I had an Xbox 360 as soon as I could get one, and then I got a PlayStation 3 eventually. Go back to the gen before that, it was flipped again. I got the PS2 first, and I got the Xbox later. So my point is, this is just how it flows. And I think the fact that I already have a PlayStation Pro, but my Xbox One is still really early on, is heavily factoring into that decision. I feel like the upgrade for me from Xbox One Plain Jane Edition to Xbox Series X is going to be a more monumental upgrade than PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 5. And the bottom line, what really sells me on it, I don't think either one of these consoles has a particularly strong day one lineup. That's just the reality. However, COVID and the 2020 situation and the supply chain and all that, I kind of get it. Like, I'm not an angry gamer about it. I'm actually quite surprised both of these systems are still coming out in 2020, to be quite honest. But what pushes Series X just a little ahead for me is how they are embracing the backwards compatibility. And I don't mean just emulating Xbox One and 360 and Xbox, something Sony has declined to do, but they are actually enhancing the backwards compatibility library. So if I get an Xbox Series X day one, and I don't even have to necessarily buy any of the launch day games, I will know, ooh, I'm getting a system that's going to enhance all of these games that I own. Whereas if I bought a PlayStation 5 day one, I feel like the messaging is, well, I can still play my PlayStation 4 games, and they'll be a little faster thanks to the drive, but we haven't done anything to it besides then, and your 3-2-1 games don't work either. So for that reason, I'm waiting for the PlayStation 5 game I have to have to get a PlayStation 5. So that is my reasoning on why I'm saying Xbox Series X for me, day one, and PlayStation 5 in 2021. So, any other comments or follow-up on the PlayStation 5 conference?
All right. No.
All right, then. Some other
I'll play somebody else's, though.
Yeah, of course, of course. When it's safe to hang out again, we'll all have to go to Loki's and play his PlayStation 5 if he gets one, and y'all can come over here and play my Xbox.
By the way, Rob, pray for me. I signed up for an MMO.
Oh, which one?
You want to take a guess?
Oh, 14. Did you come back to 14?
I came back to 14.
Oh, wowie. All right. That's going to be fun.
Just now.
What tipped the scales on that for you?
I had a Twitter poll.
Hmm.
And everyone told me to come back to this.
Okay. All right.
So I said, okay.
Well, if you ever need help with dungeons, you know I got your back.
You know I will, because I need to get leveled. I quit after Heavensward.
All right. Well, the expansion storylines are really good. So I'll have to see
that jerk face again.
Excited to see your reaction to that. Let's see other comments here. SSG 100 Matt says it also supports cross saves on some titles. Forza Horizon 4 has cross save transfers to Series X. Oh yes, that's right. That is a thing. And SSG 100 Matt also said, and I think this is a very good point and something I neglected to say in my argument, Game Pass sold me on sticking with a Series X. That is another thing that definitely weighed into my thought process too. Was like, ooh, I want to play Flight Simulator on console, because I believe it is. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe a version of Flight Simulator is coming out for consoles, and I'm all about that. Yeah, I'm really excited for that. So there's that. Questbuster says, I'm not mad about either presentation. No hate. Both camps will find something to love, but it's hard not to see how aggressive Microsoft is this time around with their technology and ecosystem. And in my opinion, this is a big difference between Don Matrick, who led the company when the Xbox One came out, and Phil Spencer, and where the company is at now. And I said this on a previous episode of OLR, and I'm going to say it again. Those of you that write Microsoft off with one fell swoop, I really need you to reexamine your approach. And I would tell the exact same thing to anybody trying to write off Nintendo or Sony. They are all doing great things right now, and it's time for all of these game companies to get the respect they deserve. I'm not going to let gaming fans right off Xbox anymore. Now I understand the golden rule of gaming. A system is only as good as the games that are on it. So I understand that, you know, if you're not into the things like Halo and Call of Duty and stuff like that, that, you know, it's going to shift your opinion and things like that. That is completely, you know, understandable. But take a look at Microsoft is super diversifying what people have stereotyped them about before, with games like Tell Me Why in Game Pass, and the strength of the indie games that are on Game Pass as well. That's my honest thought on that stuff. So, all right. Anyway, but I love all game. This is going to be an exciting generation of games everywhere, including PC. So we all win, except our wallets lose. All right. Anyway, let's get into something more topical. Let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week. So, Dark Sakura, how was your gaming week?
It was actually eventful. My iPad Pro arrived. So I've been trying out a bunch of different stuff. And of course, I'm back on Patterned. We've got a couple of pinball games. Dan's been playing a couple of them. I'm trying to actually think, because I got a lot of stuff. I'm actually restarted Final Fantasy V.
Oh, cool.
I've really just been using it for some of my retro gaming. And it's been pretty cool. the next thing I have to do is hook up my my SteelSeries controller so that I can actually play controller games. Oh, and I also got Among Us.
Oh.
Now, I just did, you know, the free play to kind of get a feel for it. And it was really fun going around just killing people. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing that.
Seems sus.
I don't know who else is playing.
Now, after you said that, every time you go in to play a game with anybody from OLR, they're going to be Dark Sakura's sus. She's a thrill killer.
You know, I really hope that I get to be the imposter.
I think
sabotaging everyone's fun would be delightful.
Did
I say that out loud?
You need to talk to Shane because he just jumped on that bandwagon this week too. And Delvin at VG Realness has been trying to talk me into getting it and playing with him, which I probably will give in and do. So stay tuned. There might be some fun Among Us nights coming soon. But yeah, I'm almost scared to play that game because I don't know. I feel like I'm not a great liar in some of those games. But then again, you know, I won the Survivor game, so maybe I can do it. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe you can do it.
Yeah. But
I have faith in you.
I've enjoyed watching the Twitch streams that I've been watching on it.
This is kind of makes me think of the old werewolf game that we used to play in DDR Freak.
It's totally werewolf / mafia / the resistance. It's totally that as a video game. And those guys are smart for taking a very good formula and adapting it into a video game.
Yeah, I like that. It even does a few things to help you mask the person, but it also kind of gives me a little bit of Danganronpa, as in, you know, you can call, like, I'm going to just nickname this a trial, but like an emergency meeting that you can discuss who might the villain be.
The emergency meeting meme is great, too. I'm loving that as a 2020 meme.
I haven't seen a meme yet because I didn't care enough until I decided just to see what it was about.
It's all right. Let's see. Other comments in chat. No One Special 77 says, would that make her Dark Suskra, though? Asking for science. Come on, dad joke. And Bobby,
I don't know what the sus is. I'm just going to play it.
So when people are like chatting, because some people talk over the voice, some people type in text. So a very common thing is like Dark Sakura seems sus. She was by herself. Da da da. So sus is like short for suspect.
Suspicious.
Yeah, suspicious.
Okay, so. I get that.
And let's see, Bobby Blackwolf is pointing out, Among Us has kind of grown a lot since it first came out. It's also different now than it was in 2018. They made a lot of updates to get it to the way it is today. And yeah, so this is one of those interesting things where this video game's been around for a few years. It just now is gaining intensity because of things like Twitch. Bobby's saying a big name Twitch streamer got a hold of it. Who knows? Maybe they were sponsored. Maybe not. I don't know. But now
also
a lot of people are doing
Binding of Isaac. That's how Binding of Isaac got popular.
I thought
a streamer found it, and yeah,
shit, Minecraft.
Yeah, that actually is according to the devs. So
yeah. Anyway, anything else for your gaming week?
No.
Okay, then Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't really play too much. I've been playing a bit of Orna just to do my daily wars and. When I go places, I try to capture any territories that I'm near. What else? So I've been playing a little bit of Hot Shots Racing. I think I played a little bit of Minecraft this week as well. Mainly just been working on game development stuff. That's really what I've been doing. I've hired people to write music for me and do sound effects. So,
You're stuck doing this now. You've put money into it.
Not much. But yeah, so I've got that going, so I'm expecting to get that stuff hopefully next week. And then, yeah, just chugging along.
All right, I'm excited for you. What systems are you releasing on?
Some of them.
Okay, all right.
At least one of them.
Okay, all right, at least PC. Bobby Blackwell says Amico. Who knows? All right.
Amico?
Anything's possible.
I don't even know how you would develop for that.
I don't either, but there's got to be a way. If you tweet Tommy Tallarico 3 times, he'll appear and tell you how to do it. So
it's like the Candyman.
All right. Yeah, it is. It is. The Amica Man.
The Amica Man. Running Man.
Shh. All right. Anyway, excuse me. My gaming week. Let's talk a little bit about Final Fantasy 14, because honestly, I know it's such a meme for me at this point, but I fell on the crafting and gathering bandwagon so hard. I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 14. I have all of my crafting and gathering jobs past level 65, when less than 10 days ago, five of them I hadn't even touched. So I've been playing a lot of crafting and gathering, but it's really fun. And that's where I've been spending, honestly, a lot of my gaming time. I've been playing a little bit of other stuff here and there. Pokemon Go, of course, because today was community day. And so I caught some Porygon shinies, but not a lot. Like, I was reading in Discord, I think SSG 100 Matt or somebody was saying, like, oh, I caught like 20 of them. And then freaking Shane texted me. He caught over 40 shinies. 40! What are you going to do with those?
Shane.
I know.
Rob, but it's Shane.
I know. And some things about Shane can't be explained. I really hope he's watching. Yeah, with my luck, though, and maybe this is because I did Bluetooth catching, and Porygons can sometimes be a little bit tougher. I don't know what it is, the CP levels or whatever, but I only got 4 with my Bluetooth. Now, granted, I didn't play the whole time. I was doing another project this morning, so I really wasn't even out and about until like 2 o'clock, and I was so low on Pokeballs the way I played. I went downtown to the grid and just used my Bluetooth and drove up and down the grid where I knew all the Pokestops were. And so that way I was refreshing as I was capturing new stuff. And I only got 4 shinies that way. But that's okay. Like, I'm more mad that none of them were good. Like, I got a 1-star. That was my best Porygon. They were all garbage. And I just like to get strong Porygons. That's me. So, SSJ 100 Matt says... SSG100Matt says, I tried to use my Go Plus, but a lot ran away from it because Porygon is a higher tiered Pokemon, so they're more likely to run. And you're right, and I think that was my undoing in this event and why I only got 4, whereas other people I know got over 40. So it is what it is. So, all right, Bobby Blackwolf says, I got 0. Well, I feel better. Thanks, Bobby. All right. Let's move on from our gaming week. We have a lot of news to get into. Quick housekeeping note. I want to mention this at some point during the show. Some of you probably caught wind of this either on our social media or what have you. I launched a new experiment thing this week at the Voice of Geeks Network called the VOG Roundtable. The idea with this is to try to bring in some new voices into VOG. We have a lot of great voices that are out there already, but I've been meeting a lot of great people through streaming, through networking and that thing, through networking via Dragon Con and other conventions. And we don't often have the ability to, especially when we're all in the same space, have a lot of guests here long-term on OLR. So I was thinking, oh, what's something we could do? So we launched the VOG Roundtable to get voices to talk about current trends in geekery. So this week we did one on PlayStation 5. And I did bring Bobby in for one about the Twitch mid-roll ads. I wanted Bobby and I to have a conversation on that because there was a big question about how will this impact VOG? So we kind of talked about that, and then Twitch ended up undoing that for now. But I would say watch it anyway because there's some great alternative ideas to that in there. And hopefully more to come. And in my dream world, I'll do the first some of these, but then pretty soon, Dark Soccer is going to host some roundtables, and Bobby's going to host some roundtables, and all of our VOG people will host some roundtables. That's my hope. My hopes and dreams.
You certainly are signing me up for a bunch of stuff, Rob. Kidding.
Hey, now, you know what? But the nice thing about the roundtable is that, you know, you don't necessarily have to launch a full podcast if there's just one topic you want to talk about real quick. Like, if you want to just talk about, like, we need to have a whole decompression on this new pinball table that was just announced. Let's do a roundtable about it, you know, and then we can talk for an hour about it and get it out of our system. So anyway,
I have thoughts.
Yeah, stew on. There you go. That's what I like to hear. I have thoughts. Good, good. All right. Anyway, SG 100 Matt says, kind of like an NPR segment, just need some smooth jazz and calm talking. Yeah. Bobby Blackwell says that Final Fantasy VII discussion we wanted to have. Yeah, that never did happen. We might need to make that happen for sure. And then SG 100 Matt says, it's like a mini cast on a specific topic. Yes, except I do want to stress it is not a podcast at this time. That was a question I wasn't prepared for, funny enough, that came in when we were doing it live. My original idea was to do it as VODs only on Twitch for subscribers that would would then come out later on YouTube. But Bobby kind of talked me into, why do just VODs? Why not just broadcast it live? And I was like, all right, cool. We'll do it that way. But we're not going to even set a regular date and time for that. But you will be able to see them on Twitch. If you're following here at VOG Network, we'll do those throughout the week. Some weeks there'll be none. Some weeks there'll be three. It just depends on what the news is like that particular week. And then you can also follow us on YouTube at VOG Network, and we'll be posting everything there and on our website over at VOGNetwork.com. And yes, Bobby Blackwell says we'll announce ahead of time on Discord. Absolutely. And we're not going to do any on top of other VOG programs like Anime Jam Session. Yes, that is absolutely true as well. We're not going to tiptoe on other programming. So, all right. Okay. Enough about that side project. I just wanted you all to check it out. And you may not have known, VOG Network has a YouTube channel. We have a lot of random ass videos on that channel. And it's pretty cool. Like, if you want to see Bobby showing off the Rainbow Road trick on a Tesla, there's a video about it. If you want to see Shane and I reviewing the Mass Effect ride like 5 years ago at Great America, there's a video on that. So enjoy. There's a lot of random shit on YouTube. You may not even be there. So, all right, let's move on. More gaming news. It was a busy news week, right, Loki?
Yes. So there was lots of showcases this week. So we already talked about PlayStation. So let's talk about Nintendo again. So Nintendo's got some pretty cool stuff. They did their partner showcase. They've done like three or four of those already this year, I think. So
yeah,
showing off more third-party games. So they talked a little bit about a new Monster Hunter game coming to the Switch, Monster Hunter Rise. And that's going to be coming out March 26, 2021. They also announced that there's going to be a Monster Hunter Stories 2, Wings of Ruin. And that one is going to be kind of like a cel-shaded type of game. And apparently it is similar to the one that came out on the 3DS in 2017. So it's kind of interesting. Fitness Boxing 2, Rhythm and Exercise. Definitely a popular subject, especially with everyone being stuck inside from COVID. So fitness games could be pretty popular, I'd imagine. That's coming out December 4th. Disgaea 6, Defiance of Destiny was announced as well. Apparently, they even have a max level in the game of 100 million? So that's great. So you definitely level up a lot there. They've got a game that's a Chicago mob-themed tactical role-playing game called Empire of Sin. And that's going to be coming out, looks like, December 1st, 2020. Sniper Elite 4 is coming out this holiday. The Long Dark is getting a Switch release, or did get a Switch release. It's out now. Hades, which I knew was coming to the Switch, they announced that it was coming out this last week. So that came out as well after the little announcement there. Balan Wonderland, of course, we knew that was coming to the PlayStation 4. Maybe it was Xbox. One of those they had the trailer on, but now it is also confirmed for the Switch on March 26, 2021. And it's also going to have co-op. That's that game that's done by the folks that did Nights into Dreams. So it should be pretty awesome.
Mm.
Rune Factory 5 is going to be coming to the Switch at some point. And then they finished it up with Ori and the Will of the Wisps is getting a Switch release, which it came out that same day. So
in the year 2020, Nintendo ended a Nintendo event with a Microsoft product.
Yeah.
Just interesting. That's all.
Pretty sure they've done that before, though, with Minecraft.
No, they have.
So
they have, but it's still one of the it's still one of those you gotta see it to believe it type of things, right? It's like playing Sonic on a Nintendo system. You know, none of us were ready for it until it really happened. I will say, though, out of all that, I mean, a lot of good stuff in there, really, but I think a lot of attention on Hades having just come out. I didn't pick it up on Switch. I have it on PC, though, and it is really good. For a roguelite game, it's good, and it's got a neat little story to it. So I highly recommend that one. I think a lot of people are enjoying that for sure. Dark Tetsuya in chat over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork says, my wife loves Hades. Questbuster says, I'm tempted to snag Hades on Steam. Yeah, that's where I got it a few weeks ago. After the first time they showed it in an earlier partner direct, I bought Hades on Steam. So, all right. Phoenix7726 in chat asks, kind of on a related note about roguelikes, have any of you played Spelunky 2? Not yet, but I want to. I loved the first one, and so it's on my like to-do list if I ever can clear this backlog. It looks really exciting. What were your thoughts on it, Phoenix? Well, wait. I'll get you those answers later. But for now, let's talk about the Xbox Series X and the Xbox Series S, because the pre-orders are happening for that, and we know exactly when and what time, because obviously the PlayStation 5 had some issues with pre-ordering. They've even kind of updated Twitter to talk about that, you know, oops, we realized this kind of could have been better. So Microsoft is doing it all on the same date and the same time. I think overall that's probably a good thing. Knowing the when is a good thing. My one concern / reservation is scalpers, because now that we all know exactly what day and time it's going to happen, I'm worried scalpers are going to really be arming the front lines. So I really hope some of these retailers have thought of some new surprises to kind of shut down these bots or make it really hard for them to do the
codes,
scalping.
Yo.
I've heard that CAPTCHA codes don't really stop it. That's why the CAPTCHA chain, like, you don't type in codes anymore. Now it's click everything that looks like a banana, you know, and then it's like, oops, I clicked a plantain. I got to do it again.
It's still, if you change up like something, I mean, it's still harder for them to do it with than without it.
Yeah. But anyway, the time and date to pre-order your Xbox X or S, or both if you want, is 8 a.m. Pacific, and that's 11 a.m. Eastern time on September 22nd. So that is coming up on Tuesday, so I know I'm going to be doing it. We'll see how many others do it. The retailers included Amazon, Target, Walmart, Best Buy, Costco, Sam's Club, GameStop, Newegg, and also the Army and Air Force Exchange Service, kind of an interesting way to get the Xboxes around the world to our men and women in the armed forces, so that's kind of interesting. All those, again, the list varies depending on your country. I read the list here in the U.S., but obviously that list changes a bit depending on your country. I think it's interesting Costco's on there. I feel like that's the one I'm going to try for, because I feel like that's the one that'll have the least amount of people that realize you can pre-order an Xbox at Costco. And I think me saying it here is not suddenly going to make a million more people realize that. So, but we'll see. I probably am going to have two browsers open, one on the left screen, one on the right screen, this one on Costco, this one on, like, I don't know, Amazon or something, and figure out where I can get it first. But we'll see. We'll see. So, yeah, check that out. Again, the price, these consoles will be out November 10th. Xbox Series X, $499.99 retail. Xbox Series X, $299.99 retail. And, of course, again, I'm giving you information here in the States. All right. Pod Culture says, I thought it was 11 a.m. Eastern, or 11 a.m. for you guys. No, it is 8 a.m. for us on the West Coast in California, Oregon, Washington. It is going to be 8 for us and 11 for you East Coasters. Don't get the time wrong or you'll be sad. All right. DJ Rama S says, hitting Best Buy for mine. Them reward zone points, yo. And Pod Culture says what Rama said. I don't blame you, but I do want to caution you. The complaints I saw about PlayStation 5 were a lot about their site and the timing out and all that stuff. So I completely understand your reasoning. And I'm not going to tell you where to buy your stuff, but just be forewarned. You may run into some ever-spinning clock pages and things like that. But hopefully they'll be ready for
it. Put all of the pages all at once. All of them.
Yeah, hopefully they'll be a little more ready for it. I mean, maybe that was a problem with the PlayStation 5, is that it kind of just happened. So maybe Best Buy will have some backups or something. I don't know. Whatever they need to do to make it work. So. All right. Pod Culture says I'll have Amazon open as well. So it sounds like I'm not the only one that's going to kind of be doing two shops at the same time. So we'll see. All right. Let's move on. We have more news. Dark Sakura. Dark Sakura, I believe you're muted. So you'll have to go back to the beginning.
Well, shit.
It happens.
There's a game series that a lot of people are very fond of. Certain people in my family are. Rayman. How many folks in chat like Rayman? Because I thought it's always been a really neat game, a very pretty game. Mm-hmm. But the creator of Rayman, Michel Ancel, has decided to quit video games and is going to go to work on a wildlife sanctuary. He's like leaving the industry to do it full time. And this is also the person who has brought us Rabbids and Beyond Good and Evil. He did confirm that the current projects active Beyond Good and Evil 2 and Wild would continue without him. He has said, and actually I'll just read part of the quote on here. Today is very special for me. After more than 30 years, I've decided to stop working on video games and fully focus on my second passion, wildlife. My new project takes place in the real world and consists in a wildlife open sanctuary dedicated to education, nature lovers, and wild animals. Many of you might want to know what will happen to Wild and BGE2. No worries, since many months now the teams are autonomous and the projects are going super well. Beautiful things to be seen soon. May the fox be with you. So, so yeah, he had been with Ubisoft. He had worked on, I mean, basically just so, you know, those big three series are well loved.
Yeah.
And, you know, he announced Wild back at Gamescom 2014, which is a open world where you play as, you know, animals. And I guess maybe that might have been sort of a hint that he's really looking more toward working with the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Ubisoft did confirm the details of the Wildlife Sanctuary project and wished him well. And I'll be honest, I'm really looking forward to see what he does with his Wildlife Sanctuary. It's Montpellier, France. And I wish him the best with it myself. I think it's a noble cause.
Yeah, you know what? Good for him. Like, I know it's a big loss for the gaming industry. This is adjacent to, like, if Miyamoto ever left Nintendo, heaven forbid. But this is, you know, like that for Ubisoft. You know, we're losing a very big creative force behind many of these games. But at the same time, like, you know, he wants to take a lot of this money that he's earned doing these different projects and now focus on something else that's near and dear to his heart for a little while. And it's kind of hard to be upset about that. It's a good thing.
Who are we to tell someone what to do with their life unless they're, you know, a bigot?
Exactly.
Then we can tell them what to do with their life.
Looking in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, Questbuster says, am relieved that this departure from Ubisoft was not because of a scandal. Sad, but true. SSG 100 Matt points out John Stewart did the same thing after he left The Daily Show. That's true. You know, sometimes, you know, John Stewart probably could have got another TV show if he wanted, but obviously he's been working a lot with the 9/11 firefighters, if I remember right, and the folks that were
just
losing medical coverage.
What's still happening to all those people with the fund being drained by, you know, the tyrant.
Yeah. So I think that's really cool. You know, he could have done another show if he wanted to, but he's doing this other thing that he wants as well. Bobby Blackwolf is also pointing out he has an animal sanctuary in New Jersey that John Stewart works with. So that's pretty cool. And Dark Tetsuya says, I'm always sad whenever Ubisoft does an E3 thing because I always am hoping there'll be a new Rayman sequel. Well, that doesn't mean there won't be another Rayman. It's just it won't have, you know, the same creative minds behind it. But that's OK. You know, not every Mario game has had Miyamoto's direct involvement either. So it happens. Anyway, let's see. One of the people who've left to do other things, Bill Gates and Microsoft. Right. Many people still associate Bill Gates with Microsoft, but he's honestly had nothing to do with Microsoft for some time now. And he does a lot. Him and his wife both do a lot of philanthropy. And, you know, those
Wozniak left Apple ages ago.
Yes. Another great example. You know? Yeah. So, all right.
And he's a pretty cool dude.
Oh, yeah. Woz is a lot of fun to watch. Didn't they try to give him a TV show at some point? Or am I just confusing that one episode where Kathy Griffin went on a date with him?
I think you might be confusing when Kathy Griffin dated Woz.
Yeah, that was
they dated actually for a while.
Yeah. That was an episode or two of the My Life on the D-List back in the day.
I didn't watch the D-List. I just remember it being in her stand-up.
Yeah.
About him proving that you can get speeding tickets driving a Prius.
I'm sorry, but Loki's face, if you podcasters listen, if you could have seen it, he just looked like mind blown. Like, what? Kathy Griffin and the Woz? Yeah, that was a thing. Yeah. Look it up.
It's such an unlikely pairing.
No, I mean, but you know what? That's the stuff in Hollywood that I love, when the unlikely people get together. That's awesome to me. So anyway, All right.
But it's like kind of, that kind of stuff, like you think that, like, it's funny hearing stories like that where it just works really well, like these really unlikely couples.
Yeah, right. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. We have more stories. Let's talk about this one, Loki, about EA.
Oh, yeah. Look at here's something very unexpected. It's EA, you know, killing off another studio. What? That's
well, not
that's
really
news.
Not really, Loki. Don't misrepresent it.
Oh, yes, it is. It's exactly the same. You know, so basically, like EA likes to do, they like to purchase companies and then they like to destroy them eventually. So EA Origin was kind of pretty much dead anyways, aside from it being their platform for selling games. Well, apparently now they're going to be retiring the Origin name and just calling it the wonderful EA desktop app. Wow.
What a creative name.
That's a creative name. Way to EA that, EA. Much like, oh, you know, EA. Their sports games and stuff, they've put the maximum amount of creativity and development into this brand new name.
You know, someone got paid for it, though.
It stands by, you know, and much like, you know, the current version of Madden or even the last year's version of Madden, I'm sure we'll go into EA desktop app and see references to Origin still. So I can't wait to see that. But eventually, I don't know if they're going to change the name of their, you know, they've already kind of changed their EA Access service from Origin Access. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think it's kind of a sign of where things are going. And let's be real. Origin had problems from the beginning. Origin had some serious problems in the beginning and had a reputation that it never really was able to shake. You know, Origin, and I would dare to say, Origin really wasn't that bad later on. And they gave away some free games and stuff, and it was an okay app to have. And I keep saying, like, the whole thing's going away. It's not. It's just a rebranding, right?
Yeah.
But I kind of do feel like, even if it's a rebranding, it is also indicative of a shift from EA wanting to go to, like, the storefront and the Steam model that they were kind of going for with Origin to that subscription model. And I think that's why things have kind of changed and shifted to what they have, because it's to bring Origin closer to where EA really wants to be with EA Access, especially now that they have that tie-in deal with Microsoft, which is really just the first level of EA Access, because, you know, they're going to hope that some of the people they get through with Game Pass are going to be tempted to go a little higher with their EA. That's the whole reason why the deals there in the first place, because they're going to really want you to sign up for EA Access as well.
That's some wishful thinking. It's like, I could get 127 games, or I think it's like 172, over 100 games, or I could get Madden.
Now, I will say, I do have to just symbolically pour one out for Origin. It does make me a little sad to see that name go away, because Origin is that thing, that brand associated with the Richard Garriott games of the, you know, the 80s and early 90s, and notably the Ultima series, right? Now, obviously, Origin, the desktop app, was nothing to do with that per se, but it is where the name came from. EA ended, you know, and you could, you know, get Ultima. I believe you could get, like, Ultima 9. I think that was one of their free giveaways at one point, was Ultima Pagan was one of the games you could get on Origin for free for a month or something like that. So I do have to symbolically pour one out for that reason. No One Special 77 also points out Wing Commander was an Origin title back in the day. Yes, yes, yes. So it is a name in the gaming industry synonymous with a lot of great 80s and 90s games. Y'all just might not realize it. So pretty cool. All right. Interesting on the rebranding front, because a lot of people talking about Plus, and there was the comment that came up that said, Tiger Claw says, I'm surprised they didn't just go with a name such as EA Plus, because that's how a lot of services are doing these days, putting a plus next to the name. And obviously we all think about Disney Plus, but Tiger Claw does call out CBS All Access just announced in the last week or so. They're going to be rebranding to Paramount Plus. So that is where, like, Star Trek Discovery and stuff is going to be now, is Paramount Plus. Not, it's dead serious.
No. Okay. See, so this joke is not going to, this only resonates with me because none of you worked in the distribution industry, but back when I used to work at a distribution company, Paramount Plus was the name of our incentive card that we got from Paramount. They'd actually put money on it as like a credit card type thing that they kept loading with money if you did well. So I think that's just kind of funny that they're reusing that name.
Interesting. Oh, that is okay. Oh, that's a clever little insight I wouldn't have known about. So that's cool. I always associate Paramount. If you have seen the movie Clue from 1985, and if you haven't, I highly suggest you put some time aside to watch Clue immediately. You can watch it on an Xbox One or PlayStation through, is it Pluto or is it the other one? One of those free TV apps has Clue on it, and you can watch Clue the movie. And you need to do it if you've never seen the movie.
It's probably Pluto TV.
I don't know if it's – I feel like it's the other one.
Or you can just have Netflix on while you're gaming.
Yes, I think it's still on Netflix too. But the reason why that movie comes to mind, the logo at the very beginning, it was a Paramount motion picture. So you see the Paramount logo at the beginning. And, of course, a lot of movies in the 80s. Paramount was a huge – and still is a huge studio, I think, for movies. So you see that logo in front of a lot of things. So Tubi. Thank you, ActF. That's the one I was trying to think of. I think it is actually on Tubi. So there it is. Although Clue will probably move to Paramount Plus, I imagine, because it is a Paramount. It's part of that library. But they're already, just since I am a CBS All Access subscriber, because I used to like Big Brother, but it's fucking impossible this season. And I enjoy Star Trek a lot, and I'm not shilling for them, I promise. But in the beginning, they didn't have a lot. They had the Good Fight and Star Trek, and that's about it. But they've been going back, and now they're really trying to add stuff from Viacom's other stuff. So they have a lot of MTV stuff now. They have VH1 now. They have all of Drag Race is there now. So that's pretty cool. And I'm hoping when the new episodes air, they'll be on there too. So that'll be nice. So, all right.
Still probably going to keep watching them through my Apple TV. So,
well, yeah, you'd probably get them uncensored there. I don't know if they'll be uncensored where I'm watching them. So, all right.
You can get them uncensored.
Moving on, let's talk about another game expo that happened online this weekend. It was the Game Devs of Color Expo, and the Game Devs of Color Expo happened over the weekend. Of course, it was virtual because, 2020, everything's virtual. But what was getting a lot of attention was that they did a Game Devs of Color Expo Direct before the expo kind of happened. So, like, I think it was on Thursday, maybe Friday. Sorry, I forget exactly what day. But they actually did some announcements, Nintendo style, of some great indie games that are going to be coming out soon that were part of what was featured at this Game Devs of Color Expo. If you want to see all the games or you want to see the direct, you can visit the website, GameDevsOfColorExpo.com. But I do want to point out two of the ones that really caught my eye. Breakpoint, which is a game that is releasing next week. Breakpoint looks like Geometry
Wars.
Geometry. I'm Baba Waltas, and this is... Okay, sorry. Geometry Wars. It looks like a version of that, but which I'm sure the devs have heard 100 times. But it does look unique because they've kind of brought like a sword and shield type of mechanic to it. So you're actually like...
The soundtrack is awesome.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is. So this was definitely a highlight. And honestly, probably a game I'm going to get next week is Breakpoint. So that was a cool one to see. And then I liked this. And Jamie, I feel like this game would be up your alley as well. Proto Corgi was the other game. It was a retro-inspired shoot 'em up, but you are a dog. You play as Bullet, a flying corgi pup. I get serious Parodius vibes from this game, but it's like a corgi.
I like that it's firing like bark.
B-R-K. Yes. Now, here's something really cool, Dark Sakura. There is a demo out for this game right now on Steam, so you can. Yep. So you can corgi all the things. Proto Corgi is the name of that game. So check
that
out.
I'm getting it right the fuck now.
There you go.
Good. Oh my God, I keep forgetting that I'm not on my Mac, so I'm trying to do like Command Space to open Spotlight to open my Steam, and no, PCs don't have that beautifulness.
Good life choice. Anyway, obviously the event, technically I think it's still going on tonight, but I imagine most people probably have missed it by this point. However, you can still check out the direct. Obviously a lot of these demos are coming out on Steam. And this is pretty cool. I have to admit, this is the fifth annual, and I feel like it might have come up on OLR again last year, but I did not hear about this all 5 years, so I'm glad that this is getting out there, and this is something I hope someday I could check out in person. It sounds really cool. So, and well, a lot of great games.
I changed my background to it, so, you know.
What's that?
It's awesome. Hmm? So I changed my background to it.
Oh, did you? Oh, Loki changed his background to Proto Corgi. That's awesome. Love it.
I just downloaded it.
All right. And Questbuster saying Proto Corgi demo is only 77 megabytes. Yes. Remember when games were a sensible size?
It looks wonderfully animated. I mean, like, it almost like it's almost like a Paul Robinson type of, I would be surprised if he's the one that did that, but I don't think it is.
Yeah. Super
That's
cool.
So cool.
So props to the folks showing off. And there's many more. I could spend a 3-hour show talking about everything there, but those are just two that where I was like, I'm ordering that. So those were them. Fifth Dream in chat says, waiting for the sequel, Neo Corgi. Yeah. Cool. All right, let's move on to, another story. It's got to be talked about. Dark Sakura.
So, the turf, as in TERF.
As I put on the sidebar, Lady Voldemort.
No, I'm not gonna go with that.
Fine.
You know, she hasn't killed anybody yet, but
Yeah.
But she may end up being indirectly responsible for damaging the mental health of millions of people who are fans of her work. So she is not going to be involved in the latest Harry Potter game. That's Hogwarts Legacy. That's supposed to come out on, you know, the next gen stuff. But the thing that I need to emphasize, a big ass butt, like a Sir Mix-a-Lot sitting on its size butt, is that she's still going to make money from sales of the game. And she actually just put out a, there's a book out that she did under the pen named of Robert Galbraith, who is also the name of the American psychiatrist who pushed gay conversion therapy, where there's a murderer who is a, quote, cross-dresser. By the way, who I also read, Where's Hajib? So it's not just transphobic, but it's Islamophobic as well. So I would strongly, strongly urge people, do not give this book any money. Do not give the game any money. Do not give any of it any money. You know, I even posted this on Twitter. You know, you can be a fan of that universe and not support her, not buy any more things. You don't have to get rid of what you already own. I mean, shit, I went through that with Jeffree Star. You know, I bought all that makeup and then, oh, by the way, he's a piece of shit. So, but I didn't throw anything away. I spent money on it. You know, whether or not I throw it away or anything, he still had my fucking money. Same with her. You know, I tell people that, you know, I would even say don't support people streaming it, because that's just going to encourage more people to purchase the game. And I don't care how little involvement she has with the creation of this game. She's made money from the license. Mm-hmm. Do not add more, because quite likely in these contracts, she's also getting money from continuous profits. Do not fucking buy the game, and if I find out you do, I will teleport to your, I will apparate to your house, and I don't know, but I'll do some kind of curse that's nasty.
I have to, even though I don't necessarily disagree with you, I have to present some popular counterpoints that are going on out there, because some would argue that if you are going to take such a hard line on that, Jamie, that you should be inviting people to come to your house and see if you have anything problematic in your house, because you probably do. That there are many companies.
Problematic.
Everything is problematic. There are so many things out there.
But when you have something that's right now in front of you, you know, you could get me on a tangent about actually how much veganism harms the environment. and how not eating honey harms bees, you know, but I digress. You know, you do have to pick your battles, and this is one that is, it's not just the damage that she's doing with her current work, but it's a betrayal. You know, yeah. There's another edge to it.
Betrayal's a really good word. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just sucks to see people in power use their power for such crappy things, you know, and that's what's really frustrating. And there's a lot. And the other counterpoint I wanted to bring up, because this was one where I was like, well, that's an interesting kind of like, you know, is that for people that really feel like this universe is a part of their essence, it is a part of their childhood, it is a part of them. Some people would say that, you know, maybe one way they can kind of rationalize, okay, I'm going to do it, is that I'm going to buy the game, but I'm going to give a sizable amount, either the same cost of the game or at least some, if not more than what JK her would get from the game. I'm going to donate to a pro-trans charity.
She's still going to get money.
It's
still going to be money in her pocket.
Yeah, but how far to remove must we be from all this stuff? Like, I'm not going to go, like, try to look at all the background information for all the products I buy for everything. I'm going to buy what I want to buy, honestly, and I'm going to probably buy this game because it looks awesome. My kids want to play it. So, yeah, I get it. I don't support what she says. I don't support that. But, like, honestly,
but your money does.
No, my money supports the developers of the game, which then is licensing by Warner Brothers. They have the rights to the actual movie series. They're going to pay her that money regardless of if that sells zero copies or a million copies. It's that money is already paid. It doesn't like
it's not already paid because in all of those contracts, she gets money for every copy sold.
Do you know that? Have you actually looked at her contracts for those games? I'm sorry, but like that's an assumption that you're making. And
no, that's,
you know what? You can not support the game. That's fine. But like I'm not at a point here in my life where I just am not going to go do all the background research for everything. Like okay. If that's the case, I'm not buying any more Ubisoft games because
okay.
I mean, every single game company out there is problematic.
Okay.
Warner Brothers is problematic. I mean, as it is. Okay. So like I can't. I can't just block myself off because someone said something mean on the internet or hurtful
okay.
or racist. It's just you gotta draw the line somewhere. Like
okay.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's like the whole like Chick-fil-A and like not supporting them either because they donate stuff.
Okay. I just want to get some comments from chat here. Some important things here to say. S. Joan Hunter Matt says, to be clear, Jamie is not wrong in how she feels. Oh, absolutely not. And there's lot of people
I
that feel
she's
this.
She's not wrong.
Absolutely. But Bobby Blackwolf points out Twitch is problematic. Oh God. Yeah. Remember that whole thing they did this week with the whole,
exactly.
The emojis for the, Latin, I think it was, and you'll have to excuse me. I'm sorry. I do not remember the official name of the event that they were doing. I think it was like Latin Gaming Week or something, but they were giving, like allowing you to modify emojis with sombreros and maracas, which if it is a Mexican pride event is probably fine. Most Mexicans that I've talked to think that kind of stuff is cool, but not when it's all of Latin America, which would be a lot larger than just Mexico. Obviously, that was a problematic thing that Twitch did. Bobby Blackwell says Dragon Con was co-founded by a child molester. I still went. Yeah, that was yikes. Thank God they divorced from him and they finally played some legal chess to do that. SJ100 Matt says, keep in mind, a lot of people worked on this game, people who likely do not agree with her views. These people's careers and development are at stake for this game. And
a perfect example, like, sorry to interrupt, a perfect example of a game that, like, you know, has also very problematic, Minecraft. Notch has said some very terrible things.
Oh, God. Oh,
he's
the opinions that I want on this are from our trans listeners.
Okay. If anybody out there is willing to speak up in chat, I would definitely love to hear it. So, and I, you know, again, nobody is wrong in the way they feel. And I think everybody kind of has to evaluate this. And I think one thing we can do, and luckily we are doing, and I think we need to continue to do on social media, is kind of present the facts. You know, did you know she is a problem, and she has these views that are hurtful. They're hurting people, especially people that were so in love with this universe, only to find out that, you know, the author behind it doesn't support them as people. That's horrible. At least you can educate people with this information so they can make a decision on what they want to do.
And I can still judge people for doing it. I'm sorry. It's, as someone who is on that spectrum, and I will not elaborate anymore because it's nobody else's business.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a bigger stab in the heart, you know, and maybe it is a bit more emotional for me, but I can't see how it would be right to do anything that further supports her work.
Okay, and I think we'll leave it at that for now. So let's, because, you know, we want to make sure every gamer has a voice. The voices are out there. Now you have an opportunity to figure out what you want to do. All right, let's move on and talk about social media of sorts. Right, Loki?
Speaking of another problematic company, Facebook. So Facebook Connect, they talked about the new things coming toward or in the Oculus brand. So, of course, the Oculus Quest 2 was announced, and, you know, the different games coming to that as well. So, of course, with that, some announcements that were made, they're going to be bringing Star Wars Tales from the Galaxy's Edge, which is from the same developers who did Vader Immortal. So that's pretty awesome. Still wish I had played the original. Jurassic World Aftermath, Medal of Honor Above and Beyond, Population 1, Beat Saber is going to be getting multiplayer as well. So that's kind of cool. Myst, getting, I guess, another VR. I thought they already had a VR version for Myst, but I guess maybe it's now coming to the Quest, too. The Climb 2, Warhammer 40,000 Battle Sister, Pistol Whip 2089, and The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners. So apparently the new, I'm not sure when the Quest 2 is supposed to be out. I'm imagining probably relatively soon. And then, of course, you know, a bit of warning, starting October, new Oculus users will have to link their account, or they will need a Facebook account, and also existing Oculus accounts will have to be linked to a Facebook account starting January 1st, 2023 to get full functionality. So that's the only thing that sucks there. Otherwise, you know, I have a Rift and, you know, I like my Rift S, but yeah, I don't know. Facebook, I really wish there was a reason why they were doing that aside from just spying on people.
Yeah, I mean, I have no plans to ever buy an Oculus product, so that's that. And maybe this kind of goes back to the other conversation, I don't know, but just, you know, for me, I'm not loving the idea of that being tied to Facebook accounts, and I don't have a Facebook account anymore, so and I'm not getting one. So yeah, well, I should clarify, I am still on Messenger and Instagram. However, I don't see myself doing that long term. It is something that has to slowly wean from while I find replacements for things like Messenger. That's for sure. So, all right.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of things that are ending, we have to talk about the 3DS, because this week it was announced that Nintendo is going to officially be ending Nintendo 3DS production. The official Japanese page for the Nintendo 3DS, and of course that would also mean the 2DS is going to be involved, because that's kind of where 3DS ended up in its later years, right? So, and then in a statement to Kotaku, Nintendo of America did confirm that the 3DS handhelds are no more, saying in a statement, quote, "We can confirm that the manufacturing of the Nintendo 3DS family of systems has ended. Nintendo and third-party games for the Nintendo 3DS family of systems will continue to be available in the Nintendo eShop, on Nintendo.com, and at retail. The existing library of more than 1,000 Nintendo 3DS games contains many critically acclaimed titles and can provide years of content to explore and enjoy." So, basically they're saying, you know, yes, we're no longer going to be making the hardware, but it's not like we are suddenly going to come to your house and take all your 3DSs away from you. That is very much not the case, and not something they would be capable of doing. However, even though they kind of talk about that things could be available like digitally and things like that, I'm not sure that would mean that the I mean, the 3DS store is still going, if I remember right, right? You can still have the option to use the 3DS store, right?
Plus, they still have, like, codes out there that you can buy at retail. They still sell 3DS games at retail.
Yeah.
Still full price, because I've looked. In fact, I actually just picked up my son the Paper Mario Sticker Star, because he's getting close to finishing Paper Mario and the Origami King, and I thought he would want another one to play, so I got that for him as well. But yeah, a lot of those games are still full price. Like, I'll wait until Black Friday and that kind of time frame when they mark those down again. But yikes, I'm surprised, like, this far after that stuff has come out, especially like the latest, like last Pokemon games on 3DS, they're still $39.99. It's ridiculous at this point.
And the last official Nintendo first party game for that was the Kirby Robobot, right? It was the last thing they actually did, I think. So
I don't remember.
I feel like that was a couple of years ago at this point. But I was going to say, with the store is still available for now, but I have to be honest, how long until that ends up going away as well? I mean, the Nintendo...
It'd be just like the Wii.
Exactly. Just like the Wii. And we've seen this happen before. I think it's probably a matter of time before the 3DS shop probably gets pulled too. I don't want to panic anybody, but if you do have titles you're looking at getting and you want to get them electronically, you might want to think about budgeting for those in the next year. You probably still have at least a good year of life left in that shop, but that probably will be the beginning of the end. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Miitopia and Radiant Historia were the last two 3DS games I played. ActDef says, WarioWare Gold. I think that was the last one. Phoenix 7726 talks about Shovel Knight also got the final update as well. This is why it might also be a good idea to, I don't know, root your DS and back up your games. Tiger Claw says, I could see Nintendo porting some 3DS games to the Switch in the future. You know, I kind of hope that's where some of this ends up, because after all, if you just tilt a Switch vertically, you could probably get a very similar real estate on a vertical screen that you would get on a 3DS or a 2DS. I mean, you might have a little bit of cropping, but...
I'm still surprised we're in the middle of September and they haven't announced any big changes to Nintendo Online. It just, you know, before they were like, oh yeah, this year we're adding the Super Nintendo collection or whatever. Before they had the NES collection, there's like no new collections or anything. It's just...
I get what you mean.
Nothing.
I was going to say, we have a minor update later in the show, but I see what you mean. Like a whole new, like a Game Boy collection or, you know, something. I get it.
Yeah, like Game Boy or, you know, something. Like, I'm surprised that they haven't done anything.
Well, maybe don't speak too soon. You never know what might be coming. Fingers and toes crossed. Maybe the whole 2020 stuff pushed things back.
Month here.
I know. I'm not going to hold my breath either. I'm not going to hold my breath. But well, I mean, it will be. Let's let it be a nice surprise. If we were to suddenly get a Game Boy Advance, you know, library, which I would love a Game Boy Advance library myself. But there's, you know, a lot of things I think would be really cool and lend itself well to the system. Anyway, let's go back to a classic time when these games are still alive in our hearts. You know what? You can't take that away from me, my memories and all of that of these games. It's the classic game of the week. And every week, Dark Sakura steps into the gaming vault to find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should be playing this game right now. It's the classic game of the week. Dark Sakura, what did you pick for the classic game of the week?
I have chosen Cannon's Bike. And the reason being is because I'm on a Dreamcast kick. So,
I mean, we should all always be on a Dreamcast kick.
Well, I mean, the Dreamcast is, I mean, it was a pretty amazing little system, you know? The great thing about it is that, you had so many direct arcade games that came over on the Dreamcast. And Cannon's Bike is one of them, or as it was known in Japan, Gun's Bike. But at any rate, it is a multi-directional shooter game, and it was released in 2000 by Psycho, and later came out in the same year on the Dreamcast and was released by Capcom. It ran on the Naomi hardware. Remember, it's not Naomi, it's Naomi. Say it with me, Naomi. It is kind of like Commando and Smash TV, although the focus is boss fighting, you know. But at any rate, it is the last game released for the Dreamcast in Europe. It was published by Big Ben Interactive and sold at Game exclusively. So at any rate, you have different playable characters, although, you know, the game Cannon Spike was named after one of Cammy's moves, and Cammy is in the game. But you also have Arthur from Ghosts and Goblins, or Ghouls and Ghosts. You have Boletta, as she was in Japan, or Baby Bonnie Hood from Darkstalkers, as a hidden character. You have Charlie, or Nash, as he was in Japan, from Street Fighter Alpha. You had Rockman, or Mega Man. And then you had Shiba Shintaro from Three Wonders, which I have also done as a classic game before. So there you go. You also have another character who was made for the game, Simone, who is actually... has a lot similar with Lin Kurosawa from Alien vs. Predator, the arcade beat-em-up. And then as an enemy character, you have Vega, who was known as Balrog in Japan, the bullfighter guy. At any rate, you know, Cannon Spike was... it had an interesting reception to it. It was very well received in Japan. It was considered by Game Machine. It was listed to be the second most successful arcade game of the year. And in the U.S., it pretty much got average ratings. Famitsu gave it a 30 out of 40. Game Informer said it was average. Metacritic really rates it as average, but it is one of those little neat games. I mean, I personally thought it was really a lot of fun, you know, and you know, the crossover for other Capcom games was always a fun little addition to it. You know, I always thought it was a little bit of fun. It's kind of one of those not super appreciated and not very, I'd say, well remembered games. But it, you know, it did get some good ratings from some other resources. It got an 8.8 from IGN. It got a 88% from GameFan. You know, like I said, a 30% from Famitsu, which Famitsu is notoriously stingy in their reviews. But, you know, it was a fun one. You know, if you haven't checked it out, you might enjoy it if you have a Dreamcast or a Dreamcast emulator or something. But Cannon Spike was just... I think it really fell under the radar for a lot of people. And, you know, maybe I'll hook up my Dreamcast and see if I can stream it or something, because I have a copy.
Jamie,
I haven't played it in a while.
Sorry, Jamie, I'm going to be honest. I did not know this game before you picked it.
What?
I did not. And you know what? In looking at chat, I'm not alone. Pixel Pacas, who I know follows games very closely. Cannon Spike looks like great fun. I've never seen it before. Black Compat, who I know has been podcasting nearly as long as we have, says, this is one I'm not familiar with. We'll have to check it out. Yeah, I mean, when you talk about this game fell under the radar, girl, you're right. Like, that's an underestimation. Like, and I think it's really neat that Charlie and Cammy and like some familiar faces are in it. I don't maybe somebody showed this to me for a hot minute in college, but I do not remember it. But that's the point of the segment.
Well, you know what, Rob? I think you should come over someday when you're feeling safe.
Yeah.
And we should just hook up the Dreamcast and just stream random Dreamcast shit.
We really should. I would really love that. I did riskyish behavior today because I was on a film set. everything was protocol followed, but you know. But yeah. Maybe in a week or two, yeah. I'd love to do that.
Yeah, but I mean, and the other thing too, as you can see in the long play that we have going on right now, is you have all kinds of different scenarios and scenes as well. Like, if my timing is right, looking at this, like, we're on a Ghouls and Ghosts themed level, you know, with zombies and the undead and delightful little horrors. But, you know, now, Questbuster actually put something in chat that I wasn't too aware of, because I just thought, you know, this game would be kind of like Cheat Pile. but apparently it's sought after by collectors, and I've got a copy. So, gosh, maybe I should sell it. I'm kidding. You know what? I just found out that I was looking up Guardian Legend for getting the album art, and apparently, like, there's copies of it selling now for the bucks. And I have mine in the box. But, I mean, but this... It's just a delightful little piece of fun, you know? That's all I can say about it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I truly am surprised that people, at least listeners of our show, haven't heard of it. And I'm not saying that in a judgmental kind of way. Trust me, I will judge you for far many other things than just not hearing of this game.
Right.
But the game, you know, I kind of thought that a lot of people had heard of it, you know, especially with as many Dreamcast aficionados as I know.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about this segment is, you know, hey, remember this? And sometimes the answer is going to be, actually, I don't remember this.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, if you can find a copy or a way to play it, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more. Not in that manner, though. Give it a try. You know, pretty fun. Pretty cute.
I think I will.
Wow, $300 for that really orange, right? Well, hey, and you know what? Take a look at your own collections, then. You never know what you're going to have that'll, you know, pay a quarter of your mortgage one month.
Right? No kidding. Yeah. I think I still have a black stripe Final Fantasy VII somewhere.
You know what's funny about that is that we had loaned mine to somebody and they never gave it back. And then I bought the re-release of it, and then we got another one. And now I have a Japanese one.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I have a black stripe Symphony of the Night somewhere too. So it's just...
You know us.
Well, of course you guys have one, yeah.
We also have the Japanese special edition that came with the art book and the music CD and all of that.
And I think, you know, this whole little talk about, you know, what you never know in your collection what's worth. I think that's why some of us, and maybe, again, this is gamers of a certain age and this is my get off my lawn moment. But I think that's why there's some of us that are a little slower to move to digital, because we do still see a lot of that value in physical stuff. Not to say, you know... folks in the younger generation don't see the value in that. You know what I mean? But it's just kind of one of those, like, gosh, you know, like, when I do everything digital, I don't have that cool little thing in my collection that I never knew was rare, you know? But yeah. I guess it, at the same time, I'm saying all that, but yet you have companies like Limited Run Games where the whole point is to make collectibles, you know, of video gaming. So not everything is digital, I suppose. Anyway. There it is.
I was also...
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was also going to say, you know, on the same token, I know that the games are going to take up some space, though, but, you know, set yourself a dedicated area for it. If you can't collect, you know, have big, massive collections, then pick something that you love and hold on to that. You know, if you're super excited, I'm just going to throw this out there, say that you love every Final Fantasy game, and that's your big love, then definitely get hard copies of everything. You know, that is your collection. You don't have to have a whole room dedicated to it.
But you don't necessarily have to not have a room dedicated to it. It's okay if you do.
I mean, Dan thankfully Dan's office needs are a lot more minimal than mine. But yeah, his office is in the game room, although now we have two CRTs hooked up and we still have the Saturn hooked up. The vault is coming along. It's getting some new life. But anyway, Cannon Spike.
Yes, there it is. Your classic game of the week, Cannon Spike. There it is. All right. speaking of collectibles and collections growing out of hand, do you know what my fucking husband did today?
Do tell.
So he had to go to Costco because our Keurig machine finally went kaput. So he was like, all right, I'll get a new one from Costco or whatever. And he sends me a picture in Costco of a Super Pac-Man arcade 1-Up machine. And it just says, you know, husband with a Super Pac-Man arcade 1-Up machine. And I'm like, okay, you're opening a door you do not want to fucking open. Number one.
I'm telling Dan right now.
Super Pac-Man, it's... And, Dark Sakurai. I looked for it online and I couldn't figure out, why am I not finding a Super Pac-Man online? Super Pac-Man Arcade 1-Up is a Costco exclusive. That's why he saw it there. So, yeah, right? So, he sent me that picture and I'm like, that is a fucking door you don't want to open. Like, if you tease me with that, we're going to have one of those and you're going to be mad because that's going to come out of the house fund. And that's just that much longer.
You see, listeners, this is why we don't have an Xbox Series X, is because now I have all of these arcade games behind me.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'd have both.
Well, girl, you've seen my house.
Yeah, I know.
We actually are trying to decide, like, we need to get rid of four pins so that our house can kind of go back to normal, although Dan also needs to fix the Mustang and put it somewhere, you know? So we're making some pretty tough decisions about all that stuff.
Yeah, no, and I'm saying this all in good fun because obviously I think it's great that he finds those things that like triggers my, wallet need to spend money type of thing and taunts me with it. And who knows, someday, I mean, once we do get past the house stuff, if there's still money left over, I would love nothing more than to fill up the fucking house with more Arcade 1-Up cabinets. And you better believe Super Pac-Man's towards the top of my list.
Oh, shit.
That's easily in like my top five machines I'd like to have.
Looking what Bobby said just now.
Yeah, what it is, Bobby? Bobby, it's a clone, I believe. You might fact check me on this, please. I'm inviting Bobby Blackwolf to fact check me. It doesn't happen often. I believe it is the same lineup as the 40th anniversary Pac-Man that is being sold on the official website. But they have flipped the arcade art and the cabinet art to be Super Pac-Man as opposed to the wood grain Pac-Man. Because there already is a Pac-Man 1-Up cabinet, but it has less games. And I think it's just a plain black cabinet. But the 40th anniversary is like a wood grain thing. And it does look nice. But I believe this is a reskinned one of those, but it's Super Pac-Man skin.
Well, I did tell Dan, so we'll see what happens.
And
they did the same thing with NBA Jam. They did a championship edition that was in Costco.
Yeah, he sent me a picture of that one too, and it looks good. If I had, I would love NBA Jam, but you have to draw the fucking line somewhere. And yeah, Bobby points out, and this is important. It's not just Pac-Man. It also has Galaga, Galaxian, and Dig Dug, and those games are fucking awesome too. Really? So it's okay. I'm glad I had Bobby fact check me. I am wrong. It is not a reskin. The 40th anniversary does not have Galaxian and Dig Dug. It instead has Pac-and-Pal, and
which is terrible.
Pac-Man Plus, which is also terrible. That Super Pac-Man machine is way better as far as the game lineup goes. It really depends on if you have to have the aesthetic of the wood grain cabinet or not, I think. So, for me, again, you make your own damn opinion when it comes to what you're going to spend $400-$500 on, however much these arcade cabinets are. I wonder, how much was it? Did he tell me? I got to find out. Sorry, guys. This is excellent live radio.
It was money.
I believe it was $4.99. I could be wrong, but let's see. Oh, no, $3.99. Sorry, he said $3.99 is the price.
Okay, maybe we won't get that.
Yeah. But I'm wait for those price drops. I hope so. I'd hope so. All right, anyway, let's move on from talking about those machines. Maybe we'll be talking about Arcade 1-Up machines again in our Rapid Fire News segment. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Let's get into some Rapid Fire News we have tonight, starting with Loki.
Yes, so there is something that also pre-ordered this week, and that was Mario Kart Live Home Circuit, is $100.
You got one, though. Congrats.
$100 for each starter set, yeah. So it's $100. You can either choose from Mario or Green Mario, and it comes with the different...
Wait, hold up.
What?
You can do Mario or Green Mario?
It's Luigi. That's Green Mario. It's a joke.
Wait. Oh, okay. Wait, so you can't... Okay, what is Nintendo calling it? Luigi? Was that your little joke?
It's Luigi.
Okay.
It was my joke.
Okay, because I was about to go off. I was like, Jamie, hold my earrings. I'm about to be like, why would you not just do Luigi? Okay. All right,
calm down.
So calm down.
It's Mario and Luigi. Each one is $100, okay. And you need a separate Switch for each one in order to play. two players, so you know that ain't happening. But yeah, it comes with like it looks like a bunch of different checkpoint areas, and then like some cardboard arrows as well. The car, and then a recharge, you know, like a charge cable. I think the software itself is actually going to be free to download, so that's going to be a thing as well. But yeah,
makes
so
sense.
That's coming out October 16th.
Huh. All right. You know what? That's less than I thought it would be, especially when you look at the price of those Legos. I totally thought it was going to be like 40 for the game and then like another like well, I guess I was about to say 60 for the car, which I guess is the same price. But somehow in my head, I had it up to $120. I thought it was going to cost $120.
Yeah. So those. Yeah, we have almost all of those sets too.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Right. So
You should see. We just put together one with King Boo on it today.
That was another thing the husband tried to tempt me with last time we were at Target. Was like, oh, look down this aisle. They have those Nintendo Legos. Don't they look fun? Like, stop it. Stop it. Aren't you? What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to make sure I don't see that aisle. You're supposed to say, oh, look over here at these other things. All right. Anyway. Let's see, Bobby Blackwolf talking about collecting, saying, I actually worked on the room that we're turning into our arcade this weekend. It's the last storage room from when we moved in. Found some more gaming VHS tapes that I might want to digitize. Maybe I can do a VOG stream playing old video game VHS promo tapes. Pretty cool. All right, anyway, sorry. Moving on with rapid fire news. Sorry, Loki.
All right, and so aside from that, it looks like we have gotten news that WayForward and Arc Systems are going to be bringing out a game based on Ruby, which is, of course, the animation that's by Rooster Teeth, and it's been out for quite a while now. But yeah, so that sounds pretty awesome coming from those two, and definitely the type of style of a game. I could definitely see that from them. That's supposed to be coming out sometime 2021. So hopefully we'll get some more information about that soon.
All right. Well, moving on to some rapid fire I have. This is one of those things where I was like, oh, I saw this and I was like, this is interesting. You guys all know like the lottery, right? They have it. I think almost every state has one, some type of lottery. I think there's one or two states that don't, but you probably are still familiar with it, is that it's like a state sanctioned gambling, basically. And here in California, we have our own lottery and they have the number picker thing, but they also have these things called scratchers. And again, I'm not advertising for them, especially because it is, again, just basically state-sanctioned gambling. However, I would be remiss not to mention this caught my eye, was that there is a large advertising push going on here in California with the lottery for Pac-Man scratchers. That's right. So I guess for a limited time, we have some Pac-Man 40th anniversary scratcher cards. And if you want to see these for yourself, again, I hate that I'm doing an advertisement for a gambling thing, but I'm going to say pacmanscratchers.com is where you can see what some of these look like, whether you are or not in California. It has been brought to my attention. Some other states have also done like Pac-Man things in their lottery. I think Virginia did one last year. I bring this one up because I noticed the advertising push. It was a huge billboard. I saw while driving today, and also that it's kind of timed with the 40th anniversary. But there's some different scratcher cards. So on one of them, you kind of scratch symbols and ghosts, has a whole Pac-Man theme. There's another one. It's a $5 scratcher card. Remember when scratcher cards were a buck? Now they're like all sorts of numbers. So there's a $5 maze card where you basically, you know, scratch and as Pac-Man goes through a maze and hopefully you hit money and not a ghost. And then there's a $10 card where you play like a bunch of scratcher games all at once. It's all Pac-Man themed.
Maybe I'll do one.
What's that?
Maybe I'll video me doing one.
Oh, do a video doing one?
Yeah, why not? I might do that.
That might be fun.
You don't win if you don't play.
Do you know, like, there's a huge thing on YouTube for, like, slot machine YouTubers and basically people that gamble on YouTube? It's, like, a huge industry. But just be careful, y'all. Play responsibly. And if you think you have a problem, please, you know, speak up and don't get a gambling addiction. But I would say just as a collectible, I think it would be fun to own one of these. Wouldn't that be funny if I, like, had a collectible and I, like, refused to scratch it off and it's, like, a grand prize winner?
Well, but you would never know it's Schrodinger's cat, right? Except it's, you know, Schrodinger's Pac-Man scratcher.
You would never know. That's right. That's right. So anyway, let's see. Orange.
And, you know, sometimes it's the anticipation that's the more fun part of doing those things, you know. And then when you finally get whatever, it's like, okay, what's up?
Orange Right in chat says, oh yeah, one of the last family parties, one of my aunts sat everyone down to watch someone play a slot machine. I have a friend that's super into this guy that plays slot machines on YouTube, and she goes to like conventions in Vegas about this guy on YouTube, and they will play, they do this thing where they pool their money so that everybody gets one pull on like a high dollar slot machine, and they all split up the prize that comes out. I thought that was interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, we used to do that with when at my old job, we would do that with the lottery, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's the whole same kind of thing.
Like the lottery pool.
Yeah. So guys, if, you know, one day I decide to retire from video gaming and, you know, OLR is behind us and all that stuff, and I'm on Medicare and all that, would you watch my YouTube videos if I was a slot machine YouTuber?
I'd watch you get broke.
That sounds like the life.
We watch you get broke, Rob.
Grandpa playing Konami slot machines.
Okay.
It's adjacent. It's gaming. All right.
You get on with your bad self.
Why not? I've thought about it. Phoenix 77 in chat says, Rob, you should become a VTuber. What's a VTuber? Or did you meant to say YTuber, like YouTuber? I don't. Well, I'm trying to do more on YouTube and do more stuff for VOG that will. I mean, Twitch is video content, isn't it? All right. Anyway. Oh, virtual YouTuber. Really? I have to learn more about that. Look, I'm impressed that we actually got a project off the ground, and let's see if it can hold for a couple months here, okay? Then we'll talk about new projects. All right. Until
then. Is that
virtual
YouTuber thing where, like, you basically have the animation capture thing where you can, like, make yourself a chibi anime girl if you wanted to or something weird like
that? I think so. And I've seen that on Twitch.
You want to be a chibi anime girl?
You can do a lot of things. You can be a furry. You can be a lot of things. I've seen people do it on Twitch all the time. It's not just YouTube. So, all right. Anyhow, I don't know if you can turn yourself into an 8-bit character, though, probably. But I know you can in a game I was talking about last week, Avicii Invector, right? The music game featuring the music of Avicii. There is a code that has been released. I love shit like this. I love in 2020 we're talking about an unlock code. Fuck yeah. You put in this code on the main menu. Up. Down, 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 A. So that's up, six downs, and A. So sorry, it's not up, up, down, down, left, right. They did it, everyone. So you do up, down six times, and A, and it will unlock an 8-bit version of Wake Me Up, probably one of his best-known songs. And the little, when you play the game with it, it's an 8-bit style, which is pretty rad. So
that's fun.
Yeah, you know what? Kudos for something that you could have done as DLC, but you didn't. You did it as an unlock code, as a throwback. Classy, classy props to you. All right. Moving on. Dark Sakura.
Well, there are, you know, we kind of went over the one-up thing a little bit earlier, you know, with that Super Pac-Man, like you mentioned. Well, there's another one coming out. It's Golden Axe Arcade one-up, and it's actually already available, actually, as of the 17th. And it includes, dun-dun-dun, Golden Axe. Golden Axe, The Revenge of Death Adder, Shinobi, Altered Beast, and Wrestle War. Dude, if I had this, I would want it completely skinned for Shinobi, though. That would just be so rad. Also, they are the arcade ROMs licensed directly from Sega, and it's $399. Also, there's a Humble Bundle out that I'm kind of thinking of putting some money into. It's called You Can Pet the Dog for All the Good Boys. So basically, this particular Humble Bundle is offering you a bunch of games that will put the proceeds back to various animal charities. So the $1 unlock will have Scribble Knots Unlimited, Beyond Eyes, Dog Sled Saga, and Bulb Boy. If you do over 471, you get Shenmue 1 and 2, Where the Water Tastes Like Wine, and Death's Gambit. Over $12 gets Blair Witch. Bonuses include Bulb Boy soundtrack and Dog Sled Saga soundtrack. Some of the charities included are Sweet Farm, the Humane Society of the United States, and Best Friends Animal Society. So I, as a cat person, can buy this because I know cats will be helped as well.
All right. What a good,
but it is a pooper.
What a clever idea for a bundle, quite honestly. I think it's great.
I think it's funny that Shenmue is included because, I mean, you pet the dog.
Yeah. All right.
You pet the dog.
Well, let's move on and see if there's any games coming out this week where you might be able to pet the dog or a cat. Come on, there's cat people too, or maybe other animals as well. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. Let's start with Loki in the U.S.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you can pet dogs in any of these, but let's see what we've got. So we have Halo 3 ODST, so that's coming to PC and Android. 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim on PlayStation 4. Ginga Force on PC and PlayStation 4. Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 Complete Edition on PC and Nintendo Switch. And if I remember correctly, I believe that is the free game that's going to be next week on the Epic Games Store, by the way.
Oh, really?
Serious Sam. Yeah, I saw that because I was showing my kids that. I was like, hey, I'm all, hey, you gotta put this in your library. Serious Sam 4 on PC and Stadia. Vampire the Masquerade Night Road on PC, Mac, and Linux. iOS, Android, and web browser, which I assume would be considered in all of these because I can't think of something that would not be part of those. Mafia Definitive Edition on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And last but not least on PC, Panzer Dragoon Remake. That's it.
I was like, isn't that already out? But not on PC yet.
It's not on PC.
Yeah. All right, I gotcha. Well, traveling over to Japan, we have the Japanese releases. And coming out, it's been a few weeks of slowness in Japan, but things are starting to pick back up this week. We have quite a few releases on the Nintendo Switch this week, including Wagamama High Spec. It's what game coming out. Konosuba, God's Blessing on This Wonderful World. Love for This Tempting Attire. Yes, that is the full name of the game, and that is coming out in a regular and limited edition this week. I was trying to see, is that like another like manga-looking game? Yeah, I think it is. It's definitely
here for
it. Is. Yep. All right, so there's that. Let's see, also out on the Switch this week is Dungreed, and Ikaruga is getting a release on the Switch this week in Japan. Cool.
Ikaruga's on everything. It's on my toaster.
I know. It's like, does it have Doom? Does it have Ikaruga? All right. Does it have Skyrim? All right. And then on the PlayStation 4, we have Date Alive, Ren Dystopia, also on regular and limited edition. Onichambara Origin is also out this week. Ikagi 2 in regular and limited edition. That same.
Is it Ikagi?
I think you're. Oh, you're right. I think it's Ikagi. Thank you. Why don't you do Japanese? Why have we talked about you doing Japanese releases for the longest time? Just switching?
What? Well, I mean, but it's good practice for you, Rob. It's good practice.
For that Japanese class I'm not taking, yes. All right. No, it's
funny enough, I'm on a 56-day streak on Duolingo, just saying.
Oh, good job. You know what? And I think the listeners have just, over the past 10 years we've been doing release dates regularly, have just become used to me flubbing all the Japanese words. It's part of the charm, I guess. All right. Anyway, also on the PlayStation 4, F1 2020 and Ikaruga also on the PlayStation 4 this week. All the Ikaruga now available. How about the UK, Dark Sakura?
Well, let's see if I pronounce it right.
Stop it now.
On the 22nd, we have 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim. We have, or Aegis. On the 24th, we have Total War Three Kingdoms Royal Edition. On the 25th, a few things. We have Monstrum. We have PGA Tour 2K21. Big Bobby Carr, The Big Race. Adam's Adventure Origins. We have Do Not Feed the Monkeys, which I think is a great name, and I have no idea what it's about. Port Royale 4.
Jamie, I'm going to guess that in the game, you don't want to feed the monkeys, no matter how bad they ask. Just a guess. Hypothetical.
And now I'm thinking of Don't Know What the Monkeys Won't Do from Animaniacs.
Wasn't there a game or something or a website or something called Don't Push the Button?
I feel
like that's a game somewhere where you just put a big button in the middle and it's Don't Push the Button.
If I told you, I'd give you a clue. I think that's how the lyrics went. Oh my god, I love the monkey song. Anyway, Troll Hunters, Defenders of Arcadia, Mafia Definitive Edition, and Mafia Trilogy. Stephanie.
All right. We got a few more stories for you guys. Then we're going to get to the listener roundtable for tonight. I know we have a couple emails tonight, so that'll be good. And your other topics as presented in chat. But first, some updates on another game, right, Logie?
Yep. So Fall Guys is getting some more updates in between the season one and season two of content. So now for their latest patch, they're actually remixing some of the older levels. So that's pretty cool. So along with that, though, there's going to be some interesting developments regarding cheaters. So what they've been doing with folks cheating in the game is they've been putting them off in their own little island with the other cheaters so they can all play games together. I love how they do that. Grand Theft Auto 5, they did that similar with that. And I know there's been other games that have kind of banish cheaters to their own little area with other cheaters, but I think that's kind of funny. I wish I could almost like watch people play that, but yeah, so that's a new thing. So hopefully cheaters will be just sent to their own cheater banishment and you'll never have to see them again.
Bye. Although I don't think the Cheater Island thing lasted very long, sadly. I think everybody on Cheater Island figured out they were on Cheater Island.
Yeah.
Anyway, is everybody now? Here's my question for chat, really, and anybody on the panel who wants to answer it. Now that Among Us is like the big craze, are people still crazy on Fall Guys, or did everybody leave that behind for Among Us? Because I feel like overnight on Twitch, the rankings just changed, and now Among Us is that game that showed up number one. So who out there is still playing Fall Guys on the regular? Just curious. All right. ActDev says, I still am crazy for Fall Guys. Okay, good.
I need to play more Fall Guys. I haven't done it in a while.
Yeah. You know, I noticed Alan was playing Fall Guys pretty hardcore for a bit, but you know what? I don't know if I talked about this on a previous show. In fact, I feel like I hear him in the other room, and he's probably playing this game right now, is Dead by Daylight is like the thing that he got super into.
I got my Steam notification from that.
Oh, he plays all the time.
He is playing.
Yeah. So Black Compat does point out Fall Guys still popular, though. Yeah, it hasn't like fallen out of the top 10 or anything. But I'm glad the game is getting updates, because I do feel like it's the type of game that kind of needs these regular updates to keep people going back and looking and checking it out and keeping it towards the top of the list in the face of other things and so forth. She-Hulk 10 in chat says, why do people cheat playing online games? Unfortunately,
I don't know.
People just want to troll. They because they want a reaction. And the problem is, and this is the weird thing for me, in a game like Fall Guys, you're not going to see a reaction. But it's kind of that whole, like, you know you're getting one. And it's like, I'm sitting here and I'm trolling and this person's going to be so mad and it's really funny. Ha ha ha. So, all right. Anyway, Fifth Dream in chat says, I barely played Fall Guys, but my friend wanted me to play Among Us on Twitch with her today. SSG100 Matt says, current stats, Among Us, 315K viewers. Fall Guys, 13.3K viewers. But 13.3 is still a lot. Like, I kind of, you know, I'm not, now I feel like I've shaded the game, and that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just saying, like, I just feel like this game was everywhere last month, and now it's like, it's there. It's still there, but, you know, PUBG's still there. Anyway, I just sound like I'm being mean, and I'm really not trying to be. All right, moving on. Let's talk about it. Yeah, just wait till the new content update drops, says Questbuster. That's probably you're right. When these things drop, it's going to shoot right back up in the rankings because everybody's going to be trying to get new costumes. That's for sure. Let's move on and talk about some updates. This was kind of hinted at earlier in the show, but we have more NES and SNES games slated for Nintendo Online and the Switch Online, the classic console stuff that you get with your Nintendo Online account. So there are some game updates coming this week on September 23rd. On the Super Nintendo, brand new games you're going to see in the library are Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy Kong's Quest. Makes sense. We just got Donkey Kong Country 1 in the last update, so it's time for number 2. Hopefully Bobby Blackwell's paying attention, because I know he loves these games. Mario's Super P-Cross. I wasn't even aware they had a P-Cross game on Super Nintendo, but it looks like it's one of those games that was only ever released in Japan. They actually didn't release it here, but they're still putting it on the online service, kind of like Puyo Puyo. They did that with Puyo Puyo, and I feel like one other game they did that with as well. So, Lost Levels on the NES side, they put out the Mario 2 ROM and just made up a Lost Levels box art for it. So interesting. Anyway, also on the Super Nintendo, The Peacekeepers, which I don't remember this game. Wasn't it? I think it's like a Final Fight clone, like that type of game. But anyway, I don't remember it. I got to be honest. And on the NES side, there's one new game, but it's SCAT. That's right. They released a game called SCAT for the 8-bit Nintendo, but it stands for Special Cybernetic Attack Team. I'm sorry, it does not stand for Sacramentals Cosplay and Tournament.
Well remembered. Oh my god.
As some of you
that was some stuff.
That was old. That predates OLR, doesn't it?
It kind of does.
I think the SCAT tournament was Sacramentals Cosplay and Tournament. I believe that was because I was living at the crazy house then. I wasn't, and OLR didn't start till I was at the next place. So
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Anyhow, Japan, I want to just kind of add to this because, and I've mentioned this a million times on the show, but just if you're not already aware, you can get to Japan's library very easily. You just have to create a Japanese account, which is very easy to do with a throwaway email address. And then you just go into the store and download the Japanese versions of Famicom Online and Super Famicom Online, and you can play all the Japanese versions, which I would highly recommend you do for things like Metroid and things that really, really were different because of the way the Famicom was with the extra sound chip versus the NES. It's really worth looking into. But if you have the Japanese one, you're going to get some different titles. Donkey Kong Country 2 is still one of them, but they're also going to be getting on the Super Nintendo Fire Emblem, Mystery of the Emblem, Super Tennis, and Wild Guns. I believe Super Tennis and Wild Guns were released in the U.S. previously. But if you want to play that Fire Emblem game, you'll have to do that through the Japanese store. Because they're not, that game has some heavy Japanese in it, and I don't think they're going to translate it ever for this side. So, but if you have a working enough knowledge of Japanese, it might be up your alley. Pretty cool. All right. Moving on. Let's go to Dark Sakura.
Well, oh my goodness. There is, I hope this is real. You know, we've had good things come from it before, but there is a Portuguese retailer that is listing Mass Effect Trilogy Remastered for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. I would love a remastered version for PC as well, if that happens, but it's going to include all three from what it shows. The retail is called
It's EA girl. The PC thing will happen.
Okay. Well, it's by a Portuguese retailer named Gaming Replay. And they have an October release window.
Hmm.
So, but it was reported, that Electronic Arts would be releasing a Mass Effect Trilogy Remastered in fiscal year 2021. Which would end March 31st, 2021, but the quote was to not expect it on Switch, at least not at first.
Hmm.
So we'll see.
So I'm not sure of a nice way to phrase this, but like, when the fuck are they going to announce this? Like, I know it's rumors and all that stuff, but like, this is like the fifth time we've had a substantial rumor around this Mass Effect trilogy. When are they just going to announce it already? And I thought, okay, they're just waiting for N7 Day, whatever. They're trying to be cute. They're going to announce it on November 7th and just release it in a couple weeks, or maybe it'll be available that day or something like it'll be a digital release that's available that day. But now you've got this retailer that's putting October, and I'm like, that's just around the corner. When are they going to announce this? I don't know.
Which, I mean, maybe that's supposed to be the announced date and put up pre-orders for it. Who knows?
Oh, maybe.
With the final release date being November 7th.
Yeah.
If I was going to market this shit, that's how I would do it.
Mm-hmm. No one's...
You know what, though?
What?
I would get it and then definitely wait for mods to come out so I can make my Shepherd look the way I want her to again.
No one special 77 in chat says, so I'm guessing Rob's getting the Mass Effect trilogy remaster. You better fucking believe I am. Especially if multiplayer is coming back. If they made some polishing to Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, I will be disappointed if they remove multiplayer. I don't know why they do that. I'll be disappointed if they do it, but it will not stop me from buying the collection and playing the whole goddamn thing over again. I'll fucking do it.
What if they also bring back the phone utilities?
Ooh, like, I didn't even think of that.
The war map or something?
No, you're right. The war map on the phone. How are they going to do that? Maybe the phone app will still work. It was all through like your EA account.
Yeah. I think it would be pretty fun. You know, I honestly think that I'll get it.
Oh, yeah. I'll get it too. No question.
When there's a PC release.
Yeah. All right. Moving on, a few more stories for you guys. Loki.
All right. So let's talk about, you know, running games on systems they're not intended for. So Super Mario 64, as you may remember, had its source code reverse engineered. And so now, since they have the original source for the game, they can compile it for different systems. And one of the systems that's been compiled for now is the PlayStation 2, which... the first iteration of it was extremely buggy. Now there's a better video out there actually of somebody speed running the game. And it, for the most part, aside from some texture issues with some transparencies and stuff, seems to be working pretty good. But late breaking news also, not only is it running on the PlayStation 2, but they have now compiled it for the Dreamcast. Yep. And it is now running natively on the Dreamcast as well.
I saw someone post that to the VOG Network Discord right before the show tonight. It's also on the Dreamcast. And, of course, you can join our Discord over at VOGNetwork.com, VOGNetwork.com/Discord. It will get you the invite right into the server.
The Dreamcast seems to have a whole other set of issues. There's no audio in that, and there's a few texture issues as well. But some of the things, like the text on the screen, is actually rendering fine. It's just some of the other stuff is not. So very interesting to see this stuff kind of... working on these. I mean, I guess it's not surprising since you can compile it for all these different systems and it's just code at the end of the day, but yeah, pretty interesting.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that as a side effect of the leak. Like, you know, because maybe it's just I'm trying to erase that from my mind because it is pretty fucked up the source code is out there.
No, this isn't from that. There's actually, it's a team of people that actually reverse engineered the whole thing down to source.
I mean,
what they did.
You're really still not supposed to do that, but it is. I will acknowledge it for the technical surprise that it is, I shall say. But yeah, don't ever put that online, or Nintendo's going to come to your house and break the door down. That's for sure. All right,
they already leaked online.
Yeah, and I know. Once on the internet, always on the internet. But don't be the fool to host it exclusively on their site. That's for sure. All right, one more story for you guys tonight, and it's about a doll. Who here loves dolls? So
I do.
I know. I was going to say Dark Sakura does. But no, and actually, this is pretty fucking cool. Like, you know, if you're a doll fan or not, I know y'all are video game fans. So you wouldn't be listening to this show. Although that is anybody out there not a video game fan listening to OLR? Because I do find that kind of fascinating. And you should email us. Participate at orangesongsradio.com. Anyway, a doll company, and I've never heard of this company, but apparently they make premium dolls. American Girl is the name of the company.
Yeah. Okay. They've been around. I mean, they've been a big part of a lot of people's childhood.
Okay. Yeah, you know, when I saw the picture, I was like, oh, that looks, it looks a little bit like a much nicer version of Kid Sister. Do you remember My Buddy?
They're expensive.
And Kid Sister?
Sort of. Or like Cabbage Patch or something like that.
Yeah, but these are way above Cabbage Patch. Like that face.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. No, I got you. I got you. The Mercedes, an American Girl doll looks like a Mercedes Benz
to get you up to speed.
Cabbage Patch dolls and Yaris.
Where American Girl's been. They have book lines. They've had movies. I'm pretty sure they've had TV shows. So it's been out there.
And they've done a lot to forward social issues and women's rights issues. It's pretty amazing. And a lot of their the material that they put out, they've done a lot of research to make sure it's culturally accurate, including even getting for their Native American American Girl. They've been they work directly with the tribe she's supposed to represent. And so, yeah, they're amazing. But keep going with your story because I have an addendum to that.
No, I'm learning a lot on this show tonight. I put this in here because I was like, oh, it's dolls meets video games. How often do we get to talk about that? But I'm learning a lot. All right. Anyway, American Girl is releasing an arcade game gal as part of their historical characters line. It is a total 80s girl. The dolly is...
old.
I know, right? Courtney Moore is the name of the doll, and she definitely looks like a California Valley girl from the 80s. But here's the thing, and this is what I'm getting to. She has a Pac-Man machine that she's with, and you would expect that the Pac-Man machine would just be like, okay, cute, it's a doll with a machine. But here's the thing. Not only is the doll 18 inches tall, which is, you know, a decent size, so is that little arcade machine, and that Pac-Man cabinet actually plays Pac-Man. It is an actual fully operational Pac-Man machine that comes with the doll, and that is really cool. Now, to kind of add to what Dark Sakura was saying about some of the...
You can get it on its own, by the way, the machine.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's on the American Girl website.
And I will say, and I apologize if this is what you were about to say, Jamie, but it's part of the story I'm looking at. American Girl, to what you were saying a minute ago, they are going to match all of the customer donations to a maximum of $50,000 to the association Girls Who Code at girlswhocode.com. It is a nonprofit org that helps women from diverse backgrounds study computer science using online resources, scholar sessions, and summer events. Also, $5,000 scholarships to 4 of the students in the program. So, wow, win all around. Not bad for a doll story.
Well, there's a little bit more, too.
Please.
You know, it was, what was it, a year ago, year and a half ago? They did a character named Julie who had a pinball table. She was the 70s girl.
Ah.
And the pinball actually plays, and... You know, and hold on, I'll find the pinball. You can actually buy the pinball by itself, too. But there is the pinball one, and then I don't know if we put it in the chat room. But if you just look up American Girl and it's Julie Pinball, you'll find that one. The pinball table is $120 by itself.
Mm-hmm.
The Pac-Man is, I think it's also about $150.
Wow.
For the little Pac-Man. But I mean, it's fully accurate, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
I was pretty interested.
Mish in chat says, shit, I don't want the doll. Just give me the freaking cabinet. Well, you have that option. You can buy both. You can buy one. Yeah.
I'll find it and link it in chat.
And Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, a pinball table I can actually afford. And Sia Tiberius says, the doll is also pretty cute. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It's a cute... I was like, dolls have come a long way.
And the thing about the American Girls dolls is that, I mean, you'll find plenty... If you were into the doll collecting, you'll find lots of people out there who will make clothes for them and everything. Wow. And the one thing that's interesting, if you... the Courtney's Pac-Man machine that I linked in chat, if you look at the last picture that shows the doll next to it, and it is fully... doll-sized. You see the USB connector coming from the back, so that apparently is how it's powered, is via USB.
Very cool.
But yeah, it's all out for pre-order right now. I mean, even, you know, with the pinball one, I know that some of Dan's buddies had a big talk going on, like, and these are manly men, going on about the pinball table. And I mean, I certainly wouldn't mind, you know, having it. And it's very, very much 70s style pinball, down to having the little LED, not LED. Am I thinking LED? Yeah, the LED display for the score and everything. So.
All right. Well, that
who
was.
Who knows?
I was going to say, that was much more of a feel-good story, especially with everything they're doing for the charities and stuff, than I was expecting to end the show on. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the American Girl company is actually pretty stellar. I haven't found anything to be upset with them about or anything along those lines. It's you know, I would say if you get a chance to go and just read some of the stories about the girls themselves, you know, that they've written about them, because they tell some pretty compelling stories. Especially some of the ones that address the civil rights movement and during the times of slavery. Those stories are really poignant.
I bet. All right. All right. Well, I learned about a new company tonight. Wasn't expecting that. All right. Well, moving on. It's the part of the show, now that we're done with all the news that we had scheduled, that we're going to get into the listener roundtable. It's your chance to, I mean, we try to get you guys to participate throughout the show via our chat, but this is the time for you to interact with our show via the mailbag, as well as the chat room. If you have any questions for us, or something you want us to talk about that we haven't gotten around to yet, go ahead and shout it out in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. And while we wait for some of those questions, I think Dark Soccer has a couple emails to get to tonight. You guys email us, participate@orangelaundry.com, and this is a great way for those of you that listen on the podcast feed through Spotify, iTunes, not the Amazon one yet. I'm trying to get us listed on there, but I think the fact we have a custom thing is messing with it. But anyway, trying to get on everything. So for those of you guys that listen on the podcast feed, can participate as well. Again, the email is participate@orangelaundry.com. Dark Sakura, why don't you kick us off with an email?
All right. So first of them, hello, OLR crew. I probably love the show. Probably. Okay. Finally, we know the console prices. $499 for the high-end models is okay, but we can get both high-end consoles for only $1,000. That ain't bad. Perhaps one could postpone that PC upgrade. What do you all think? Thank you. Love, Sam.
I'm sorry. I love that it's... I probably love the show.
Yeah. And look, and I tend to read these like they're written, so if there's lack of, you know, punctuation or things kind of run on, then I will read it exactly that way.
No, I think it's great. Like, I'm not going to it's just funny. Like, I like that it doesn't BS us. You don't have to confess your undying love for OLR. Like, I get it. For some of you, we're background noise, and that's okay. So, all right. I probably liked your email. All right. Anyway. It's at the pricing of everything and what to do. You know, and there's a lot of people who are taking that perspective of, why should I get the consoles when I can just use that money and upgrade my computer? But I really, truly don't think there's a one-size-fits-all answer to this situation. And I'm going to tell you what's really big for me personally, because I have definitely been confronted with that when I talk about I'm going to get the Xbox Series X, and people go, well, I'm just going to play those games on my PC, whatever. But here's the thing for me. There are a lot of PC games I do enjoy playing. Like, I play Final Fantasy XIV on PC. A lot of the Blizzard stuff I play on PC. There's no shortage of PC games that I do play. But sometimes, y'all, and especially in the year 2020, I've got to get out of my office and away from my PC and somewhere else where I can be a vegetable. And that's why console gaming is really attractive here in the year 2020, because unlike, you know, before, unlike the BC before COVID, unlike those times when I was actually going into the office using a computer there, I'm in my office for 8 hours a day working there, and then I'm continuing to play some games in there. Like, I have to get the hell out of that office once in a while. So sometimes for me, that's enough. And, you know, I know you guys out there would be like, well, you should have a separate space for your office and something where you can, like, close the door. Yeah, okay, but as you all know, we didn't prepare for this. We've had to just make it work with what we've got, and that's what I've got going right now. Now, when we talk about maybe going to a new space or something, I'll have that in mind. But for now, I think being able to separate from the PC sometimes is a necessity, for me anyway. So, I don't know. Any other thoughts on the email?
No.
Okay.
You said it.
All right. Let me get some thoughts from chat real quick. Questbuster in chat says, I love gaming on PCs, but I know people that work with PCs during the day, and when they get home, don't want to touch one at all. Yeah. And DJ Rama S points out that $500 ain't going to do enough to upgrade your PC for next-gen console specs. And in a way, that is also true. Like, you know, if you want a high-end graphics card that does ray tracing, that's going to be a charge right there. So it just, I really think the answer to this question is really dependent on who you are and what you like and what your situation is like. And that's something we as gaming fans have to keep in mind, I think, more often than we do, is that the answer for me in my house and my gaming configuration is not going to apply one for one to somebody else's. You have to weigh the options.
Nothing is one size fits all.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's my thought on that.
All right.
Does Stella want to read an email, Loki?
No, she's a sub six. I wasn't looking at her, so.
Aw. All right. For those on the podcast feed, Stella, Loki's kitty, has decided to grace us with her presence. Although it's so funny. Every time Stella's on cam, it's the same pose. But it is the most damn adorable pose you will ever see.
Yeah, she doesn't like facing the other way, and she can't hear anymore, really. So she just screams at me the entire time. Aww. At least I'm pretty sure she can't hear. I'm pretty sure she can't hear anything anymore, but I don't know.
Did you name her after the Atari emulator?
No. Funny enough, she was already named Stella when we got her. So
okay. I like that. Kept it.
It's kind of like Shermie was named Sherman.
Oh. You know, Mr. Smush had a name. We found that out. We found that out when we took him to the vet finally, and the vet scanned the little thing. Mr. Smush's I don't even want to say it. It's so bad. Mr. Smush's former name was Hex.
Yeah, I liked it.
Really? I don't like that name at all for Mr.
Smush. Not for Mr. Smush, but I think it's a cool name for a black cat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a cool name for a black cat, but not that black cat.
Yeah. If I wasn't naming my cats after, you know, video games, I think Midna would have made a nice Nox or something, like N-O-X.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right.
We'll see.
Tiger Claw says, I'm surprised Mr. Smush isn't like that. Does he not like to cuddle? No, he does, but he's more like a lap cat, and he's really attached to Alan. Because I heard him in the hallway. But if Alan is, like, gaming or working on the computer long term, absolutely Mr. Smush will jump on Alan's lap and sit there. He doesn't, like, walk up on the shoulder like what Stella's doing to Loki, but he'll lie there in the lap. He's too fat to go any higher.
He's too fat to fly.
That's right. Anyway, sorry, Dark Sakura, more emails.
All right, so next email. Hello, peoples. In recent weeks, we have seen a lot of stories being spread about the upcoming release of Sony and Microsoft's next gaming consoles. This week, we saw Sony release the announcement about their upcoming consoles. Does their announcement line up with the stories we were told about it? Honestly, I don't fucking care about those fucking stories and whether or not those fucking stories line up with the fucking reality. I discount those stories as goddamn fucking worthless hoopla from people who know fucking nothing about fucking nothing. Someone's mad. And I am not adding in the fucking that was already there, so I think I'm going to hit a limit. Right. Gaming is not alone when it comes to stupid stories being spread around those who have no value in the real world and only serve to drive interest among the stupid and gullible. American culture is rife with this, and we need to stop rewarding it with our attention. By the way, it's not, you wrote out, and you should have written R. I corrected for you. Thank you. Let me be clear. Speculation is only worthwhile as it relates to gambling, and that speculation relates to whether some team is going to cover the spread or if some kicker is going to cost you whatever you gambled on when they miss a field goal in the third quarter. Okay, you're talking sports. That's another language. Don't do that again. The only rumors I want to listen to was put out by Fleetwood Mac in 1977. Other than that, get that shit out of my face, and any site that peddles in unfounded rumors and speculation is worthless to me, and people should treat this as such. Do I have standards when it comes to sources? Yes, I do. I will never apologize for that, no matter how much people who are trusted by others will disagree with me. Any source worthy of my trust will stand up to my strenuous scrutiny, abso-fucking-lutely, stay care of entertainment. Okay? I think that you're mad, and I don't know why. I think speculation sometimes is fun.
Yeah, I disagree. Like, calm down. Like,
I think that you might need like some Valium or what's the other thing that people take? Dazepam?
No. Here's the thing. Look, I'm gonna say that I get the frustration about like rumors. Is that, and I do understand that there is too much. People don't fact check and people don't think about some of the things that they spread online. I had a big problem with that on Facebook, and I think a lot of us do. We all have that one relative who doesn't fucking read the article before they share it, or shares these things that were just debunked on Snopes like 2 weeks ago.
That are 3 years old.
Exactly. It's those types of things. And to some extent, like, I get that, especially when it comes to rumors and things, you know, and so forth. But on the other hand, like, and having done this show, I make no secret, yes, we do talk about rumors on this show, but we do it because this is a show about video games, gaming culture, and the gaming lifestyle. And rumors, like it or not,
they're part of the culture.
They're part of the culture. And if something is gaining a lot of speed and traction and so forth on Twitter, it's something I feel like we have to talk about here to reasonably debate. Is this rumor something that is... And remember this, when I used to talk about a rumor was plausible. Now, you all gave me so much shit over that word, I tried to take it out of my vocabulary. But I think you still know what I'm getting at, is that, you know, we kind of discuss, could there be smoke where there's fire with these rumors? But let's be honest, as much as you hate rumors, the Final Fantasy 16 one at the PS5 event, spot on. They got it.
Yeah.
That was a true rumor. This Mass Effect trilogy thing, it's going to happen. And the movie industry is not immune from this either. You know, it just is a part of what we partake in our culture. However,
how many of us called what was happening with Bill and Ted, mm-hmm. which, by the way, excellent.
Yeah. And, you know, but on the same token, like, I don't want to, like, dismiss what you're saying. I have a feeling, like, you wouldn't listen to this show if you didn't understand my perspective. And Redertainment is a frequent emailer of this show, so I think he gets that to an extent. But I do, so I want to say, I do understand your frustration, because there are certain things out there that are so goddamn unbelievable, and I don't understand why they gain as much motion as they do online sometimes. And that does happen in gaming as well. So it's, to that end, I do understand the frustration. But there are some things out there that do end up coming true. Also, other comments in chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Bobby Blackwolf says, if you want a show that has no rumors, check out the Bobby Blackwolf Show now on Amazon Music. Look, you didn't have to rub it in with the Amazon Music part. Yeah, and you know what? That's an editorial choice. And there are differences between our two shows. It's fine. You can have different things. Let's see. Also, Black Compat says, one of my aunts keeps sharing this picture of Jesus that she loves. It's actually Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye, and I don't have the desire to correct her. I know which picture.
That's fucking hilarious.
I love that story because I know exactly what picture you're talking about, because I see it on Twitter all the time, and I love that. But it's also, Black Compat, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it one of those things where it's just kind of like, shh, wink, you know, like, don't tell her.
Dude, I do this stuff to piss off my mom on purpose. Dan tells me not to antagonize my mother, mm-hmm. but when my mother is posting, like, you know, tyrant shit, mm-hmm. I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do it.
I know. You know what?
That's my job as a daughter.
And I don't mean to be dark or depressing or anything, but there are times when, and please do not misunderstand what I'm about to say, I miss my mother every single day. I miss her so much. But at the same time, I'm so happy she doesn't have to deal with this year. I'm so happy I don't have to see how my mom dealt with 2020 on that token. So sorry. I know that's like a dark, deep place type of thing, but it's just the honest to God truth. With everything out there on social media, and she was starting to use Facebook more and use Twitter. She had a Twitter account. She made me delete it because she said, I'm being followed by too many porn. There's too much porn on Twitter. They all follow me, and they're all sluts.
Rob.
They're all sluts that follow me on Twitter.
Rob.
What?
I'm just saying.
Oh.
Rob.
Yeah, but I just instinctively responded. I know. I miss her a lot. All right. Anyway, on to other topics.
No, my favorite thing to do is send mom like archaeological articles about Jesus not being white.
I'm sure she loves that.
But I mean, the thing is, okay, so you can not follow rumors all you want to. And I always, you know, my granddaddy always said, consider the source. And that's what we do, you know. If we're going to post a rumor, we're going to do something that's relevant to our interest, number one, like the Mass Effect one, right?
Right.
And we're also going to try to find as reliable sources as we can, things that have been posted as listings, things that could have some credence to them.
Yes.
So if you don't like it, well, you can skip that part of the show.
Let me also say something, and because you reminded me, Dark Soccer, with what you were saying about, you know, how you kind of process rumors. And this is very important because, again, not every gamer does this, but I do. And this is why every time we do talk about a rumor on this show, I'm like, take this with a grain of salt or do not let this be an expectation. That is so important. If you're going to talk about a rumor, if you're going to get into a rumor, please do not set that expectation. And yes, that even goes for me and Mass Effect. If they don't ever release the Mass Effect trilogy, they never said they were going to. I really don't have a right to be disappointed. The only thing I can be disappointed in is the fact that I fell for all these rumors, but there are a lot of rumors about the Mass Effect trilogy, okay? But you cannot set your expectations at the rumor level, and that is so important, and so many people miss that mark in gaming. They I'm pissed that Sony didn't show this. Well, why did you ever think Sony was going to show it in the first place? It was some stupid rumor you read on Twitter. Or the Nintendo Direct shit. Notorious for that, right? Some fake mock-up, some fake... I'm pissed they didn't reveal a Smash character today, like, you know, I read about. Girl, somebody lied to you. It happens. Remember, they troll you on Fall Guys where they can't see your reaction. You better believe they troll you on social media where they can. Anyway, moving on. Sorry. I just had to get that point out.
All right. So next email?
Yes, please.
Last email.
Okay.
Greetings one and all. It's been a while since I dropped an email through, and I figured I was long overdue. What I'm about to say has been on my mind for a while. Oh, shit. Everyone's letting it out. A friend of mine said that he was sorry I was getting an Xbox Series X instead of a PlayStation 5. I mean, why would he be sorry? Is it because the PS5 is better? Some systems are basically the same hardware across the board, along with similar technology. Wise man once said a system... I am not a man, okay? A system is as good as the games that are on it. I said that.
Jamie, anyway. I'm so sorry that you're not me. I'm just so... That's what that quote reads. The whole, like, I'm sorry you're not getting a PlayStation 5. Jamie, I'm so sorry you're not me. Like, I know everybody wants to be at this level, but you just can't. I'm sorry,
you know,
Jamie.
What? You know what?
What?
I don't need your sorry. You keep your pity party to yourself. Given the massive library of Xbox games from the last three consoles that can be played on the new system, I'm here for it, damn it. To be fair, I really am not impressed with either system's lineup of games. Sony fanboys say the SPSX is worthless because first-party games are going to be on PC. Hey, Sony fanboys, PS5's first-party games are slowly trickling their way over. There's no such thing as exclusivity either. I mean, think about it. A year after the game comes out, it will be on PC or other consoles too. I've seen Sony fanboys mock backwards compatibility because no one wants it. Excuse you, there's still a loud demand for it. Just because Sony is too lazy to do that with PS5, that does not mean that there's no demand for it. And truthfully, that's why I picked up the Xbox. I like the fact that I have one system to play these amazing titles. For the record, I still have my 360 connected for those incompatible games. Also, let us not forget that a lot of gamers don't have the space for all the consoles, and I am no exception to that. Side note for me, I wonder if it's going to fail as badly as the last Xbox did in Japan. Anyway, going forward, we're really at that point where there is no dominant console of the generation. Each company has their own direction. And while we're on the subject of Game Pass and XBSX games on PC, the big thing I hear is Xbox Series SX is worthless since the games you can play on a PC. Listen, I have a high-end PC that I can play AAA titles on, but I use it for multimedia streaming and other projects first, then gaming. Besides, I'm more comfortable playing video games on my big screen TV and lounging in my gaming chair or bed. Overall, it doesn't matter what console we buy. We're all winners. We're all going to end up buying both consoles. No, I'm not. I know I am buying a PS5, not now, but later, because the one game I want for it, Horizon Forbidden West, is coming out to PS4. If I wait about a year or so after the game comes out, there will be a greatest hits version with all the DLC. It's a win-win for me. Well, that's it. Forgive me for jumping all around in this email. I'm quite a scatterbrain, and it's hard for me to keep my thoughts on tangent before derailing into something else. I mean, my thoughts are always on tangent. I mean, listen to me. I mean, have you listened to my podcast, XD? Stay safe out there, and may the force be with y'all, Ranma.
Well, thank you for the email, Rama. And honestly, like, there's not a lot for me to argue with. I feel like you and I are on the same page here. And we're not always on the same page when it comes to, you know, Microsoft and Sony and all that stuff. But that's okay. And it's really silly that your friend said what they said, because that's really ridiculous. Everybody has to get what works for them and their situation. Well, and that is so different.
Well, Rob, I'm sorry you're not me.
Right?
I'm sorry.
I'll try harder. You know what?
I'm not sorry. You know why I'm not sorry? Because I'm fucking amazing and none of y'all can be me. Just saying.
I'll try harder. I'll strive every day. All right. Great emails this week, you guys. Loved them all. So I probably like that email segment tonight. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us more emails for a future week. We do have at least one question from the chat I want to get to for our roundtable tonight. And that question comes from No One Special 77, who says, so all of us are gamers, and we have been gaming for what seems like forever, probably since the 80s or the 90s, maybe even the 70s, depending on who you are. I'll pose this question. Do you have any favorite fond gaming memories? First time to an arcade, getting that coveted system for Christmas as a kid, saving up your hard-earned money to buy a game or system totally on your own, played a game with a relative that has since passed. All right. I mean, I do feel like over the 800-plus history of this show, we've probably told all these stories before, but I'm fine with indulging it because gaming memories are nice. And in 2020, we need a little more nice. So would anyone like to indulge No One Special with some gaming memories, some fond gaming memories? Anyone?
Pretending that I had the flu so I could stay home and play Final Fantasy VI. That was pretty great because I didn't have to go to school.
Yep. How did you fake the flu? Did you
I
do
just
the fake
sat
thermometer
on the
and everything?
No, I just sat on the floor and had a blanket on and drank so much hot fluid that that it registered as a temperature.
Since I brought up my mom, I will invoke that with my answer because she was really not into technology or computers or any of that stuff at all. Very much not her. So I really was never going to be able to get her to play a video game with me. But the closest I could get would be on the Commodore 64. I could load up Wheel of Fortune or Family Feud, and she would play the game and just tell me what to type. So she would be like, you know, oh, we're going to play Family Feud. I'll just tell you what to type in. And so we would play games like that. And there was a short amount of time where the Atari 2600 was in my mom's bedroom. So if I wanted to play it, I had to go to her bedroom. And I know why she did it. She did it because she didn't want me playing it too much. So she always wanted to kind of like be there to give me permission. And if the Golden Girls was on, we were not going to be playing Atari 2600 at that time, which I now that I'm looking back, I completely respect. That was a good parenting decision. The Golden Girls should come before the Atari 2600. But she would watch me play stuff on Atari 2600. She's like, I don't get it. But she'd still watch, and then she'd kind of go back to her magazine or whatever else she was doing in her chair. So, yeah, that's kind of like a gaming memory I remember. Loki?
You know,
oh, go ahead.
Well, I also remember when I lived with my lesbian parents, I would play Chrono Trigger and they would watch with me.
Mm.
And that was always really a good memory.
Nice. Some reminiscing in chat, and then I'll see if Loki has anything. Fifth Dream says, my dad seemingly reluctantly once bought us a 2600. I'd come home from school and he'd be in my room playing a new game sometimes. I didn't realize till later that he bought it so he could play too, XD. There was never a game that my dad or my mom would play. Now, the Commodore 64, I use that thing by far the most, but my dad would, once in a great while, kick me off so he could try some railroad program. My dad worked for the railroad for years and years till he retired. So it'd either be some railroad thing that he was doing, like a railroad spreadsheet. I don't know what he did. I was a kid. Something like a word processing document or genealogy, which is the other thing my dad's always super been into. He gets some genealogy software and he want to kick me off the computer so he can play genealogy. So, and that's what I called it, playing genealogy.
Playing genealogy.
Other comments in chat. Dark Tetsuya says, I know I've done this one before, but I cut school the day we got the original PlayStation and I ran into my tutor while she was out getting something, LOL. And I did graduate, so it didn't hurt me too much. Phoenix in chat says, I remember getting pissed drunk in college and playing Battlefield 4 with a shit ton of people watching me because apparently my copious and creative use of swear words was hilarious to a bunch of drunk college kids. Good times. Oh, I know I've told the college stories about Duke Nukem in the college dorms in this show before. Good times. ActDef says, my dad actually got me into pinball. We always went to the arcade, and while I would play other games, he would go to the pinball aisle and play some of the machines. And SSU 100 Matt says, Super Mario Brothers, my mom would sneak into my room when I was a kid to play it. If I woke up, she would yell at me that I was dreaming and to go back to sleep. She got so good at the game, she knew where all the warps were and when the Hammer Brothers would come up and their patterns. She was speed running it before folks were running it. I've saved that copy of Super Mario Brothers and put it on my dresser next to a picture of my mom and me so I can remember her. Oh, I fucking love that story. Thank you for sharing that.
That's sweet.
And No One Special says about my dad and the train stuff on the computer, saying, Rob, did you derail his train of thought when he was working on that spreadsheet or program?
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio.
All right. I'm kidding. All right. I rolled the credits, Jamie and Loki. You guys probably couldn't hear it on your side. All right.
No.
Oh, did you? All right.
It's like,
anyway.
We're done, I guess.
All right. Moving on. Loki, you didn't get to share yours.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff. It's just like going to like some of the Nickel City stuff. That was pretty fun. Doing that with my friends. We used to go to all of the different shops that had arcade games back in the 90s. So like we'd stop by the 7-Eleven, play Street Fighter 2, and then there was a Captain Commando at one of the local diners. There was a movie theater that had like a bunch of other games, and we used to stop at Rico's Pizza to play some
Rico's
Super Off-Road and stuff like that. So lots of fun stuff. And then of course my modded Grand Theft Auto games, some of the best gaming experiences ever, which never be topped, unfortunately. So yeah.
All right. Good memories, good times. Love it. All right. I think with that, we're about at the point where we're going to wrap this up. So it's time to
wrap a last minute story.
Oh, God, of course. I'm so sorry. I forgot to ask for last minute stories. Please, Loki, go for it, please.
All right. So there's this company, ICE, who it stands for Interactive Concepts of in Entertainment. And they're an arcade game manufacturing company. They are now going to be doing home arcade games similar to Arcade 1-Up. So they've registered a brand new site, homearcadegames.com. And they have kind of a preview, like a picture showing some of the stuff that may be coming of this. Lots of stuff that you wouldn't normally expect. So, for example, some non-traditional arcade games like Ice Ball, which is Skee Ball. They've got, looks like a, I'm pretty excited about this one. So one of my kids' favorite games of playing the arcade is the Raw Thrills Jurassic Park arcade game.
Hmm.
That's one of the cabinets that they're showing there.
Wow.
And then, Super Chex Pro, which is kind of like a ice hockey game that you can play, kind of like a foosball or something like that. They've got, the Star Wars Home Pin, so Stern's Pinball. Namco Class of 81 with Pac-Man and Galaga. And also there was a Collegiate Hoops, which is a basketball arcade game where you know, the actual throwing basketballs into the hoops and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool, kind of offset of just regular traditional cabinets. But man, that Jurassic Park game. That was 17.
Yeah. Pixel Pockets in chat, because you brought up arcade cabinets, is asking, did y'all hear about that Neo Geo MVSX arcade machine? I do believe it came up a week or two ago in our rapid fire segment. And yeah, that sounds pretty rad too, honestly. Yeah, I kind of want one of those.
So they're going to start announcing stuff starting October 2020 is when they're going to have their first set of games available.
Oh, cool.
So it'd be interesting to check out what they're doing with that. Apparently, there's going to be more partnerships, though, with Raw Thrills. So I'm curious to see what comes out of that because they have a lot of interesting games. So
interesting. Yeah. And Pixel Pocket says this home arcade games concept seems cool. Yeah, it's kind of these arcade collectibles are really growing, huh? Like this whole arcade one up thing, I think, kind of showed like, yes, Gen Xers and millennials, as they get older, yes, they will pay for this shit. So I think it's they found something.
I mean, our financial futures are already in the toilet, so why not?
Exactly.
And who knows when arcades are going to open again? So, you know.
That's right. That's what it is.
What are arcades? I forgot what they were.
I have a friend who's moving into a new house and is already planning one of the rooms to be a full-on arcade. And the reasoning behind it is that there's no arcades anymore. So you know what? I'm going to put one in my house. And obviously, you see a lot of people doing this. There's countless numbers of YouTubers that have tours of their either basement arcade, garage arcade, probably attic arcade, spare bedroom arcades. You think of it. They've got it. Turning the in-law house into an arcade. All of it.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. So, and Bobby Blackwell says, I'm converting your room into an arcade. It's a storage room right now. Well, I really hope Dragon Con 2021 is back in person and after all of this, so to speak, so that I can come see it. I do hope so. All right. Anyhow, any other last minute stories? That was a good one.
No, that's it. Okay. That's all I had.
Anything? I got nothing.
All right. Well, then, I think we will wrap up the show. We're after 9 o'clock or midnight on the East Coast anyway. It's been a long show tonight. We had a lot of news. So anyway, I want to thank you guys for staying up late with us if you're listening live or listening to the whole thing if you're on our podcast feed. We appreciate you guys for sticking with us, rumors and all, throughout another week here at Orange Lounge Radio. If you like what you heard here at the show, tell a friend or 20 about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if we can't get the voices here to participate with us, we can't get the voices out there. And I think that's one thing we have heard time and time again just on tonight's show is that every gamer is different and everybody's situation is different. And we've heard that apply to all sorts of ways tonight. And that just is important why we need that diversity of opinions here to really try to put our feet in other people's shoes and understand why somebody might think a different way or choose a different system or whatever, you know, it is that we're talking about. So really appreciate that. Thank you guys who help us spread the word. Auto hosting on Twitch for VOG Network goes a very long way, and you can do that anytime. You don't have to just do that on Sunday night. That is super helpful, and thank you so much. And thank you those of you guys that leave a nice review too, like a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is that you found this show. Those things go an awful long way. And don't forget to participate with us on Discord as well over at vognetwork.com/Discord. All right, enough plugs. I think we can go around and get everybody's final thought. I will start with Jamie because you're on top tonight in the side on the TV. So, Dar Sakhar, your final thought tonight.
Well, Rosh Hashanah is already over, but to my fellow Jew people, Lashana Tova, and during if you observe during Yom Kippur, have an easy fast.
All right,
and vote.
And Loki, your final thought.
Keep working on. I'm still working on stuff. Hopefully, I'm trying to get to a point where I can announce something. So soon, hopefully.
All right. And then my final thought, of course, I want to say, of course, and I totally agree with folks in chat. Rest in power to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And thank you so much for everything, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and a lot of the very important and historic decisions that you've had a part of. And in the very, very wise words of a very, very talented drag queen, I'm not going to panic because I don't do that anymore. Everything's going to be okay. All right.
Although I do still like the one, Rob. When in trouble, fear and doubt, run in circles, scream and shout.
That's fine, too. That's fine. Whatever you've got to do to cope with the situation. All right. And on that note, we're going to end Orange Lounge AO for tonight. Maybe some of you are going to play some video games to deal with things and get out your feelings over the next 7 days with some video games. Have fun. Be safe. Be kind. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next time here at Orange Lounge Radio. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.